much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'll tell you, it's really gonna be fun. Looks nice. Oh, it's 5:30. Chip, get the china out of the garage. I'm gonna rinse my feet.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
And there's going to be another film called Lolly Love. It's about Beverly Hills rich people inventing these lollipops that are designer lollipops that they pass out to the homeless.
Technically, that is how I would explain it.
That's exciting! Can't wait!
Yeah, hey guys, it's Steve. I'm not going to be able to make it in today. Somebody else is going to have to hit it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This cannot end good.
Roll!
Remember me?
Just like the other one.
From yesterday at this time. Those were good times.
I don't have another sense.
Donald is not going to make America great. He's going to make America orange.
Why don't you try and throw a little enthusiasm into this job a little, huh?
I don't care.
I just pass it on down.
And now,
girl.
I learned that from Wendy Williams.
Our feature presentation.
You're doing good work with that text-to-speech thing, Bean.
It's my favorite now.
It's my best. He's my best friend, that text-to-speech robot. He's really... I spend most of my time... Well, you know my wife left me. Mm-hmm. So it's really just me padding around the mansion and just talking back and forth to my robot. I mean, that's my life now.
Bean's been coming in, for those of you that don't know the backstory on that one, and saying, hey, yeah, my wife's on vacation and she'll be back any day. It was like, I think, late September is when that started.
She's been gone a while,
right.
And she's a little cagey on giving me contact information,
too.
And I don't know if I'm supposed to read something into that, but she claims she's coming back, and some of her stuff is still here, so I assume I'll see her again.
It's probably the stuff she doesn't use, though, right?
Like Bean?
Apparently. It is weird, though, and Allie, I'm sure this has happened to you, that sometimes, you know, I'll go to bed at the end of the night and I'll think, I didn't talk to a human today. Like, I have plenty of conversations with my dogs, but I didn't see or speak with another human today. So I think that's why this robot has become, we've become very close over the last few weeks. Because I can set up my robot to have any kind of conversation I'm in the mood for. You know what I mean? So
right.
That's my life. That's what's going on with me. How are you guys?
That got so dark.
We're good. It was dark/pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, it is Friday.
Sometimes I don't talk to people for weeks.
Well, it's true, though. It really is. Hey, I got a great story to get us started here that I'm a little outraged by, and I'm sure you will be as well. Allie, have you seen the story of the teacher in South Carolina, Union City, South Carolina, Lee Ann Arthur? She's in the news right now.
I have not.
She is a high school teacher there. It's been a while since I've been to high school, but apparently her courses are called mechatronics. She teaches mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and computer programming. That's her job at this high school in South Carolina. Well, she got fired last week. And the reason she got fired is because on February the 18th, she was on hallway patrol duty. She's one of the teachers who makes sure that the hallways are clear when the class begins. So at the beginning of the class, she's at the door welcoming her students in and urging other students out in the hall to move along to their class before, you know, we get too far into the after the bell. So while she's away from the classroom, and Kevin, you'll appreciate this, she says she was not at her desk for 3 minutes.
In that time. Then they did the right thing.
a student saw her cell phone on her desk.
Getting now, the Kevin, right thing.
You know cell phones are irresistible to you.
It's not possible like, to ignore that.
Just like if Kevin walks by Beer Mug's desk and his Facebook page is open, Kevin's going to post a picture of a penis on Beer Mug's Facebook page. I mean, that's just how he rolls. So this student, a 16-year-old student in the class, picked up the teacher's phone and automatically opened up her photos and found a semi-nude photo of the teacher on her phone.
Oh, no.
This was February 18th. It is a photo that she had taken for her husband for Valentine's Day a few days before that she had sent to him. Well, the student took a picture of that picture with his phone and immediately started spreading it all over the school. The teacher didn't know anything about it. And nobody said anything to the teacher when she came back into the classroom. But when she showed up at for work the next day, there were printed out copies of the photo in her mailbox in the teacher's lounge room.
Oh, my God.
So
she murdered the student.
I'm afraid not. The teacher was fired.
Why?
The teacher was fired because the school said that she had a responsibility to keep her photos private from the student and that she was at fault for allowing the students to have access to material that is inappropriate for the classroom.
I'm surprised she didn't have a security code or something that you have to punch in. You don't have to do that, but everybody does. I'm surprised she didn't do that.
Yeah. You know, I think
if somebody else picks up your phone and goes through your pictures and then posts it, that's not you.
Well, the school says that she was the one who was responsible for keeping that sort of inappropriate material out of the hands of her students and that it is her fault. Now, the students are, by the way, nothing has happened to the student who did it either, by the way. And a lot of people think that that is outrageous.
Absolutely.
That kid, you could argue, committed a crime.
He stole her phone and then basically he handed out pornography is what he did.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's been a huge story in South Carolina. It's starting to spread across the country. Over 1,000 students in the school, by the way, have signed a petition urging the administration of the school to let the teacher come back because they say she's a great teacher and everybody loves her. And they see it the way we see it, I think, which is that it's not her fault. She didn't do anything wrong. But the school, as I said, is saying that it is her fault because she's the adult and she needed to try harder to keep that material inaccessible to the students.
That's surprising.
So anyway, that's the victim being double victimized, I think. As far
Absolutely.
As I'm concerned. I think that is outrageous. But I'll keep you posted and see what happens. But that's where we're at right now.
I hate that kid.
Right?
Right?
Ugh. And his parents.
Right?
And probably his dog.
What's wrong with his dog?
Dog is trouble? Know. Yeah, it's just trouble.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I feel like grabbing you by your ears right now and screaming in your face. I'm not interested.
Huh.
I haven't even said what we're doing yet.
It was hurtful, Kevin.
On the program today, we have Will Forte in studio.
I love Will.
Talking about his show, The Last Man on Earth.
So talented. You know, this is a guy who all those years on Saturday Night Live was so funny. And then he did that Nebraska movie, and he was just so great in that. And now he's so funny on this show. What a talented dude.
I thought you were going to say, then he did that MacGruber.
Well, he is also MacGruber, so Will Forte's got a lot going for him. And a spectacular beard, like an award-winning beard.
Right. Also on the program today, we have, we're going to talk to, I'm not sure how to say this. I think it's Ariel Helwani?
I think it's Ariel.
Ariel.
Ariel Helwani, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. About UFC 196, which is Conor McGregor. Also, Holly Holmes is fighting both tomorrow. Very excited about that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole new batch of Thanks for That Info Bean.
Well, I don't know that that's necessary.
Oh, I think it is.
No, I think it is as well.
Because I got in trouble.
Yeah, you're gonna, again, because Allie has problems following the rules here. And that puts us all in danger. So, coming up later this morning, we have your tickets for April Foolishness. And we have Canhead in
Kevin.
Studio.
Kevin.
Dude sticks cans to his head. They stick.
Yeah, he does.
They actually stick to his head.
I think Kevin is going to make a new best friend today.
For sure.
I really do. I think
USA!
This is going to be
right?
A lifelong
USA!
Bond.
USA!
And when I saw that Canhead's name on Twitter was Canhead69, I thought he and Kevin are right like peas in a pod, man.
same
They're
guy.
Meant Maybe for we each were other. Twins. We just didn't realize.
Right?
Oh, man. This opens
Think
up
a about new... how many things you could stick to your head if you had his skills.
Because my head's so big.
Because your head's
yeah.
so big.
Yeah, yeah, I could fit all things on it.
You could carry your car around with you if you wanted to.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Come on, Rob. We're still buddies, though, right? I mean, we're all friends. We're all having fun.
Don't bogart right? that joint,
not
my
friend. Not quite. Not quite. It's got a little show between us and then. But, hey, how about the first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning?
Well, let's check into the celebrity sick bay, shall we?
Okay.
A lot of big-time celebs on the mend. So we wish them the best, like Captain Sig. Let's hope we wish Captain Sig gets better soon.
Captain Sig.
Yeah, you know. Sig.
Captain Sig.
From the, whatchamacallit, the fishing
right.
show.
Right, from the whatchamacallit.
the fishing
the
show.
The fishing show. It's called The Fishing Show. Actually, it's called Deadliest Catch.
That's it.
And Captain Sig Hansen, captain, of course, of the Northwestern, was on the deck when he collapsed on the deck, clutching his chest, apparently. Had a heart attack on the boat. That's bad news when you have a heart attack on a boat.
Yeah.
So he wanted to keep going, keep fishing, but the crew insisted that they get back to the dock for help. He was airlifted to Anchorage because they were fishing up there in Alaska. And apparently he is doing well, and his family asks for your good wishes. 49 years old, by the way. See, that's why you exercise BS.
Don't do that? Don't do anything like that?
No! You only get so many heartbeats, and then if you make it go fast, then you run out. That's science.
Yeah, you gotta pace yourself.
Is that science?
Yes! Because what could be more physically grueling, physically fit lifestyle than that of fishermen? You're hauling those crab baskets up, and you're throwing nets, and you're working the boat. Those guys must be in great shape. Boom. Too many heartbeats. Keep it low and slow. That's what I said.
It's science.
Right. And then we got Honey Boo Boo's mom, Mama June.
And she's the picture of perfect health. What could be wrong with her?
Mama June collapsed at her Georgia home last Wednesday, suffering fainting spells. They said she fell asleep in the shower.
Is that right? Wow, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I mean, because look at her. Another example of just being in too good shape, maybe. She's been having fainting spells lately. Doctors say they can't find anything wrong except that she's just horrible.
That's an official medical diagnosis.
That's their diagnosis.
They didn't say anything about weight or diet.
They can't find anything physically wrong with her, but she's just awful. So, I don't know if that's a curable disease or whether she's stuck with it. Speaking of diseases, this already makes me laugh. You know, the Brothers Grimsby's coming out. This is the new Sacha Baron Cohen movie with Mark Strong. They play two brothers. One's a secret agent. The other one's an idiot. And they end up fighting the bad guys together.
Can't wait.
Sony apparently is backing off the film. They're a little scared of it.
They're the ones releasing it?
Yes.
Why?
Well, apparently it's very incorrect. It's very twisted and dark. And
it's Sacha Baron Cohen.
Right?
You know that.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a scene in the movie which they reveal that Donald Trump has contracted HIV.
Okay.
And that's making the studio nervous.
But I feel like in context of everything is absurd in this movie, I mean...
Look, he obviously likes to push the envelope and be as outrageous as possible. And that's, like you, as you said, that's what you get when you get a Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
The funny thing is, you got to imagine that when that scene was written and shot, Donald Trump was just a punchline businessman. And they never imagined that he'd be the next president of the United States by the time the thing came out.
I don't think it was shot that long ago, but Sasha has certainly been an outspoken critic of Donald Trump, so this is his way to take a shot, naturally. And I guess we'll all see when the movie opens next Friday in the U.S. It's already shown in theaters in Europe. And our own Beer Mug, by the way, was on the red carpet doing interviews.
Oh, fantastic.
And talked to Sacha Baron Cohen.
He did.
What?
I know.
Do we have that to play?
No. I mean, I think we got the boys in the lab furiously trying to edit those together.
Did he ask
maybe
him?
When the movie opens next week, maybe we'll take a listen to him next week.
Did he ask him, fantastic.
How has life been for you up to today?
I don't believe that came up in the conversation, but we're all a lot poorer for it.
Ralph, I don't know if you were tuning out at this point, but Donald Trump was talking about his penis during the Republican debate last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Just because he has small hands doesn't mean he has small you-know-what, Kevin.
Right. That's what
he said.
That
in the debate? Just
that's fine. What a man just running for president
down there.
Said.
Trust me, it's just fine down there. He just assured America that he was well endowed. So that's what we need in our
now
leader.
Now that's the first time I've been sorry I missed it.
That's what we need in our leader. He hit my hands, came at my hands, saying I have small hands, and then alluded to I have small other things. Trust me, I'm just fine down there. Everything's great. You want to see?
Yeah, that's what he should have done.
He whipped it out right there on Fox News.
And then yesterday he was talking about how Mitt Romney, he could have got Mitt Romney down on his knees if he wanted. Did you see that clip, Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
I just watch to watch the look on the face of Governor John Kasich down at the
that
end.
Poor man.
That poor man.
He looks around and says, are you effing kidding me? I'm an actual governor who has done things, and I would like to talk about things.
I can't imagine that's
and
not everybody.
At the thread, Mo, Larry, and Curly were just hitting each other with hammers and pipe wrenches and poking each other in the eye and slapping each other in the face. And he says, what is going on?
Kasich looks like a chaperone at a children's birthday party, and he doesn't want to be there.
It's miserable.
He's like drafted to watch the party, and he's like, I shouldn't even be in this room.
I mean, I have issues with some of his policies, but he seems like a reasonable, well-intentioned person who at least has a desire to govern.
Yeah.
And he's got no traction whatsoever in the Republican Party. Nobody even pays attention to this guy. And he's like, over here, over here. I have ideas and things to talk about.
They were talking about doing yoga on stage last night. Did you see that
what
part?
What kind of a debate was
it? It was the most insane one.
He's
so
flexible. He should be doing yoga, right? But who's with me, folks? Hey, try the veal.
And then Ted Cruz is yelling at Donald Trump, breathe, Donald. You can do it. Just breathe. It was insane. You can't believe it's real. It looks like a reality show. Anyway, sorry to diverge, but when you were talking about Donald Trump in the movie, I just kept thinking.
You just couldn't
thinking,
stop thinking about his penis.
Yeah,
I guess that's it. Yeah.
Donna has been gone for a while. Yeah, we know. It gets lonely up there, just you and the robot. Sometimes you got your little Donald Trump penis.
Take a break from your Mr. Rogers viewing.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Sit down.
Patricia Heaton, she's 58 years old today. Michael T. Williamson celebrates his 56th birthday. Actor Steven Weber, one of my favorites. Remember Wings? Let's talk about Wings.
Yeah, Kevin,
do you remember Wings?
I don't care about it. I didn't watch it. I'm fine. Everybody else is fine. Let's move on. You have birthdays.
We've got to get you to watch some Wings.
I don't. Why?
Steven Weber, Tim Daly.
But why do I need to watch it?
It was great.
It was a rich tapestry of humor and character.
I'm willing to say, okay, it was great.
Okay.
Still not good.
Let's get on to a birthday you'll care about.
Thank you.
Landon Donovan. Woo! Landy cakes. Woo! He's a guy who used to play, I don't know, some sport. He's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph
Garman.
He
is a dick.
Yeah,
that's not the case.
You got that right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I miss Nick Lachey, man, when he was with that band. He was so good.
He was good.
Hey, you want to help us raise a ton of money for some terrific charities, plus have a hilarious evening out? You can do both of those things Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. It is this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, a great lineup for the 2016 edition, including our friend Jay Moore, just added to the bill yesterday. Also, Bob Saget will be there, Eddie Ift, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, and the most profane country music you've ever seen in your life from Wheeler Walker Jr. All of that on one bill for one night only. Here's the thing. It will sell out. It sells out every year. And tickets go on sale today at noon. So get the details at KRock.com, and you can buy your tickets at noon today to join us for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. You know, we haven't mentioned it much, Kevin, but there's the That's My John section.
That's
that
right.
People can pay. What's involved in that if they want the top ticket price of just $99?
You can sit in the very front row where the mosh pit usually is. Yes, Ralph?
No, I need a microphone.
What?
Microphone.
I can't hear you.
If I want to add to the conversation,
I know, but I need to have a microphone speak on. Louder.
My microphone.
Oh,
there we go. Oh, sweet Jesus.
What about that section, Ralph?
What fresh hell is this?
That's my Juan.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You get set up front.
You killed me.
You get parking,
uh-huh.
VIP parking. You had a party before with the Kevin and Bean show.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm out now because Ralph's mad at me. But
I'm not mad. It's just I asked for so little. Just when I'm on the air, if the microphone would be on, that's all I ask.
I mean, I know we're doing, and by the way, the cheapest ticket is $25.
So
price
cheap.
Is affordable for everybody. Details here to come. I know we have something else we need to do here, but what is it about Ralph walking in, putting on the headphones, and stepping up and putting his mouth near the microphone that doesn't automatically lend itself to you thinking, I should turn that on?
I'm just going to say that that does happen 99% of the time, and then every once in a while it doesn't. Pretty good batting average.
All right.
That's a good point. Right.
But you're not batting. You know, all you have to do is push a button. It's a lot easier than batting, it turns out.
See? Now, Kevin.
That was pretty easy. All right. Listen. Bean has Asperger's.
Right.
One of the things that comes along with Asperger's is that you cannot you don't have any idea if the person you're speaking to is responding well to what you're saying.
Right. The inability to pick up social cues when having a conversation with someone.
Now, when you people are lucky enough to be listening to the music, we are in the studio and we're listening to Bean.
You are.
And I write it down verbatim because, holy crap, does he bring up some bad stuff. And this is really just, this is constructive criticism, Bean. We think this will make life better for you because you'll understand what other people are or are not interested in.
It's a teachable
right.
moment, as
right.
they say.
Yeah. So that is...
Fetch that info, Bean!
Rule number one, and Allie has been breaking this rule, is if Bean says something that comes out of the blue, you don't respond to him.
See, but...
It's our only defense, Allie. If you shut down and don't respond, then maybe he'll let you off light. Maybe he'll only go on for another 10, 15 minutes before he stops talking.
But he sounds so sad.
Right. Fine. At least too nice. That's the problem. You need to get a little more mean because not responding to him is important, even if he says something that you're interested in.
See, and he does.
Right. And then you give him credit. That gives us another 2 weeks of nonsense. So I'm saying it. The rules are important.
Why should everyone be sad? It's bad enough that he's sad. Why should we all be sad,
Allie? I'm getting it.
Think of that. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
Okay. But am I helping this segment?
In no way.
Okay.
All right. So this is verbatim. Guys, what do you think about the new Hershey's carrot cake kisses? To which Allie says, does it have carrot cake inside? Or the chocolate? Or is it made of carrot cake?
Like she asked, my sweet Lord.
She asked like three straight questions of Bean. And that's why he's been on a roll. I think we could blame this all on Allie.
But guys,
and then Bean responds with, I love carrot cake. I do love carrot cake. Thank you, Kevin. But look.
No, she didn't even respond to her question.
Not one response to any of her questions.
See, he doesn't need us. That's what the whole point is.
Right.
He doesn't need us to have a full-blown conversation.
But wouldn't you guys have been sad if I knew about carrot cake Hershey's chocolate kisses and didn't share that information with you?
I'll handle this.
No.
Fetch that info, Bean.
I don't like that thing because it doesn't affect my life in any ways. Just remember that phrase was used by Bean earlier this week.
Guys, how do we feel about Dean Martin hologram in Vegas?
Now, in this particular case, no one said anything. A little pause.
Oh, good.
Because the people who would be interested in Dean Martin, are they the audience that would want to see a hologram?
Man.
Nothing.
That's a good point, that guy.
That's
whatever
not
he
a
said.
Good. You know, we don't need clarification. You can't just say it's a good point. We're telling you this is bad.
I'm just
do
asking.
Less of this.
Look, we're a show that talks about entertainment things, and as a
Dean
business
Martin
model,
Hulk.
is that the audience?
That's info, Bean.
What on that show for?
That's info, Bean.
Going to be at Coachella, by the way. Dean Martin's hologram. I can't wait.
You guys might find this interesting.
Nope.
You always know you're not going to find it.
Yeah.
You guys might find this interesting. Monday, I listened to the new Natalie Imbruglia album. No one said a word. Pause. It was great.
That's that info, Bean.
But isn't we work at a radio station?
That's that info, Bean.
Music part
that's
of
info, Bean.
The fabric
that's
of who we are
info, Bean.
And what we talk about.
That's that info, all right. Bean.
Now. What Bean does, because he knows Allie is a little weak, and by weak, I mean nice.
Yeah.
I mean nice.
No, you know what it is? He's the predator cat in the jungle looking for the weak gazelle by the watering hole.
So
oh,
he's...
my gazelle?
No.
Oh.
So he starts with, hey, Allie. So he engages her directly.
Smart.
Are you as excited as I am for the new Rick Astley song today? Allie says, really? No. Bean says, in a much higher voice, it's a new Rick Astley song.
Well, it is. It was.
Exciting.
How could you not have been excited about that?
And then Allie said nothing. I'm not done.
Okay.
Now I have to start over. Hey, Allie, are you excited as I am for the new Rick Astley song today? Really? No. It's a new Rick Astley song. It's exciting. Nothing.
I thought you were cool.
That's that info beam.
He did.
He said that. Well, I was wrong.
She is. That's why she's not excited for Rick Astley.
This one sentence has so much in it. And this is all that was said, and nobody said anything else. What about Bill O'Reilly's custody issue that I'm following with great interest?
That's that info beam.
Relevant. It's current.
That's that info beam.
But you're the one following it with great interest, and we're not. So
right, but I thought maybe we could talk
about
it.
You're wrong. You were wrong.
Okay.
All right, run out of time. This is good. I don't know why I thought about this, but I looked at who owns the Twitter name at radio. Bean loves radio.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about radio.
Yeah.
No one said a word. And the person who has it has no followers. Nothing. And he hasn't tweeted anything. Not one. Nothing. That must be worth a lot. Allie throws him a bone with, yep. I would think it would be worth a lot. Allie, you should get it. Bean, don't think I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, Allie, how do you insult him like that?
Now that I hear this back.
Right?
Why am I engaging this a-hole?
That's that info beam.
And definitely worth a lot.
And finally,
to me.
When I die, I want to be known as a man about town. That was yesterday.
Yeah, by the way, I take this a little personally. You forgot the classic that I was the recipient of.
Oh, I don't
know. I try to stay out of the studio as much as possible so I'm not subjected to this. But you forget when I walked in the other day and I sat down. He said,
Ralph, were you ever on Supermarket Sweep?
Come on!
I forgot about that one.
Come on!
I was probably busy writing the one from before.
Oh, God.
Bean.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Woohoo! 106.7 came out.
I think they're done. I think that one's over, Ralph.
Remix.
It is 6:26.
Hey, just ahead of the movie beat, we want to open up the phone lines for you, the Kevin and Bean listener, to have you be part of the show. Look, you've got a lot more interesting things to talk about than we do. We want to hear it.
Not all of you, though. Not all of you do.
1-800-520-1067. You can call Kevin and Bean right now and get on the air on any topic. If you've got questions, you've got comments, you've got problems, you've got whatever. Anything. You want to brag? I don't care. Just give us a call. 1-800-520-1067.
Really selling this.
Maybe there's something going on. Well, how about a little help?
Oh.
If
right,
you saw the Ghostbusters trailer and Ralph hates it and other people don't. Something
maybe
like
talk
that.
A little UFC.
Sure.
What are your thoughts about the fight this weekend?
Did you
weekend?
See that press conference?
Conor McGregor?
Real.
Yes.
Things
unreal.
Got real.
Yes.
Yo.
Yo.
It's crazy town, yo.
So there's a lot of good stuff going on in the world and maybe in your life, too. Your calls on Kevin Bean's What's Good are coming up. But first, Ralph is here. It's Friday. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
The Oscars are over, so now we're ramping back up. Starting to get back into a good movie season where things are, a mixed bag.
All right.
Different kinds of films for everybody, I think, this weekend especially. Let's start off with a new Terrence Malick film. If you're not familiar with the work of Terrence Malick, he's a nutloaf.
He sure is.
Just makes weird movies. Sometimes they're just silent and there's dinosaurs and music and it's crazy town, yo.
But sometimes they're so great.
Yes, this one, I think, may err on the side of being great. Christian Bale stars in this new film called Knight of Cups. That's Knight with a K of Cups. He plays a writer who is indulging in all his baser desires throughout Los Angeles and Vegas, and he's trying to find love via a series of adventures with six different women. It's like The Bachelor. This is awesome. I love this movie. Kate Blanchett also stars Natalie Portman, Brian Dennehy.
Wow.
As I mentioned, director is Terrence Malick. Very interesting film by all accounts. Here are some clips from the trailer of Knights of Cups.
All those years, living the life of someone I didn't even know. I can't remember a man I wanted to be.
Just don't threaten me with leaving, okay? Just do what you want to do.
You don't want love. You want a love experience.
Find your way from darkness to light. Remember.
Knight of Cups.
Ralph, you
That's
said
an unfortunate name.
Why? Yeah, it's a terrible name, but you said it's Knight with a K. A is it knight. is it a period piece about, you know, hundreds of years ago?
No.
Oh.
In Vegas?
Yeah, in ancient Vegas.
Oh,
in the ancient ruins of Vegas.
Vegas in the 1400s.
The gods of Vegas battle each other.
Okay, I withdraw the question.
On the strip known as Fremont. No, Knight of Cups, I believe, refers to a tarot card. The Knight of Cups, I believe.
Oh, okay, sure.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, he's a weirdo.
Other Side of the Door also opens in limited release this weekend. This is a story of a woman whose young son is killed in a tragic accident, and they tell her that there is a ritual that you can enact which will bring the child back so she can say goodbye. Well, what could go wrong there, right? With
right.
bringing the dead back to life. That seems like a safe bet.
That always works.
No, it is. It doesn't always work. She disobeys a sacred warning. And what do you think happens then?
All hell breaks
Nothing
loose.
Nothing good. Here are some scenes from the trailer of The Other Side of the Door.
What if I could bring your son back to you just one more time so that you could say your final goodbye? You will be able to speak to your son, but no matter what you do, you must not open the door.
Oliver, is that you?
Mommy?
I miss you so much.
I miss you too, Mommy.
Oliver's come back, Mommy.
You have no idea what you have done. You open the door, you upset the balance between life and death.
Look, when the ancient gypsy lady tells you to do something, just do what she says.
She says don't open the door. You don't open the door.
Right, and then it's a nice 5-minute movie and everybody goes home safe. Damn lady with her not listening to the gypsy. Hate those women. Don't do that. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot also opens up this weekend. Story of a journalist who recounts her wartime coverage in Afghanistan and Pakistan. This is getting great reviews based on a book of the same name. It's a true story about a woman who actually did go to cover the war in Afghanistan and Pakistan. You think it's all bad news and war, but there's a lot of partying and stuff goes on, too, amongst those journalists as well. We get both sides of this comedy starring Tina Fey, the amazing Margot Robbie. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She's a juggernaut. She's beautiful, and she's just super talented. Also, Martin Freeman, who I love. Alfred Molina, great cast. Here is a scene from Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Margot Robbie is asking Tina Fey, well, for this is a unique situation.
Can I have sex with your security guys?
Oh, by all means.
Don't just say that to be polite.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not.
Even Nick?
That would never happen, so you're good.
No, Kim, don't say that. You could have Nick. In Afghanistan, you're a serious piece of ass.
Thank you. That's nice.
Because you're what? I mean, you're like six, seven in New York. Here, you're a 9. Borderline 10.
What are you here, like a 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
This looks great.
It does look great. Looking forward to seeing that. Oh, I'm also looking forward to seeing this. Zootopia opens up this weekend for the kids in a city that is populated all by animals. A con artist fox and a rookie bunny cop have to team up to uncover a conspiracy there in Zootopia. Jennifer Goodwin stars as the bunny cop. Jason Bateman is the voice of the fox. Idris Elba, Jenny Slate also lend their voices to this. You know, when you have a kid, you look forward to these kids' movies that you say, wow, that actually looks entertaining. I think I'll enjoy that too. Here's a scene where the fox and the rabbit are talking to the assistant mayor, who happens to be a sheep, and then they all get interrupted by the mayor of Zootopia.
Oh, I'm more of a glorified secretary. I think Mayor Lionheart just wanted the sheep vote.
Smellweather!
Ah, that's a fun little name he likes to use. I called him Lion Fart once. He did not care for that. Let me tell you, it was not a good day for me. Yes, sir?
I thought you were going to cancel my afternoon.
Oh, dear. I better go. Let me know what you find. It was really nice for me to be...
While we're young, Smellweather.
You think when she goes to sleep, she counts herself?
Oh, shush.
You're all going to die tonight.
No, there's no,
no that's
dying.
Not a scary
it's
thing.
It's fun and lovely and charming and wonderful.
That's what I meant.
That scene with the sloths in the DMV still makes me laugh when I see
that. That's funny.
Hey. And lastly, London Has Fallen. If you were a fan like I was of Olympus Has Fallen, this is the sequel to that film where, once again, President Aaron Eckhart gets into some shenanigans. And it's up to his good friend, Gerard Butler, his Secret Service agent, to bail him out. This time, they're in London for a Prime Minister's funeral. And Mike Banning, Gerard Butler's character. Is that a great action hero name or what?
Yep,
Mike,
yeah.
Banning.
Mike Banning.
I'm Mike Banning, Secret Service. He discovers a plot to assassinate all the attending world leaders, and he saves them all because he's Mike Banning, for God's sakes. Here's some clips from the trailer of London Has Fallen.
Five of the world's leaders are now dead.
Stay with me. We'll get you out of here.
The American president is unaccounted for.
To our friends in the West.
Bakawe.
Number six on the 10 list.
What do you want?
Your president.
That's not going to happen.
I will not be executed as propaganda. You don't let them take me. If it comes to it, I want you to kill me. That's an order.
Yeah.
I'm in.
If you're President Aaron Eckhart, after the first time, just say, I'm going to step down now. Let's let the vice president take over. This guy has bad days as the president. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
So London Has Fallen for you action-adventure fans. Great lineup this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
I'll let you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
A lot of shows still coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show, including a preview of UFC 196 next hour. Very excited about the fights this weekend. First, though, time for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed. This is going to be a red letter day on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think we are always going to remember where we were when we took the caller on line three. Do you think it's possible, Kevin? Could this be the real Robbie Joyner, the man that you have mentioned hundreds of times over the years on the air as the neighbor you threw rocks at?
Could it be him? Of course.
All right. Let's go to the line. Hey, Robbie. What's good?
Hello, guys. Good morning, Kevin.
How are you? How long has it been since I talked to you? Hold on. I have a few qualifying questions. How long since I've talked to you?
I was just trying to recall that myself. It seems the last time I can remember you pulling into your driveway in your old Oldsmobile Cutlass.
That was my dad's. Yes, good. That's good. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
hey, what street did we live on?
Heatherbury.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a policeman. PXPD.
What kind of animals did you have? How many questions do you have for poor Robbie?
We had them all, Kevin. We had, you know, horses.
He had horses!
Kevin, wait, I think...
This is Robbie.
I think we're missing something. You were throwing rocks at a cop's house?
Yes, no!
What?
Not at a cop's house, at Robbie. We used to have rock fights.
Yeah, I think I can remember that was one of the worst punishments I ever got with my dad was he caught me throwing rocks at...
Right? Because you're a dick.
Oh, Kevin.
No, I'm saying his dad did the right thing because you can't throw rocks.
You were throwing rocks at Robbie, Kevin.
Robbie, what made you think? Look, Robbie, first of all, this is Bean. It's very nice to meet you. I feel like I know you because I've heard you talked about for so many years. But what made you today wake up and go, hey, I'm going to give Kevin a call, a guy I haven't talked to in forever. Why are you on the line?
Well, I'm actually over here.
Oh.
I still live in Arizona.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I Yeah, I was told, actually, I was at a reunion, and someone told me that they heard my name mentioned.
Yeah.
They heard you guys talking. So, anytime I get over here, I always like to listen to you guys and listen to Kevin. So.
That's weird.
Aww.
That is so weird.
I am heading back home. I was over there for a couple of days and heading back home and listening, and I heard you guys say call in, so I thought, oh, that'll be a good time to
I never knew that you got in trouble from your dad for throwing rocks.
Oh, we got in lots of trouble.
Robbie,
I'm sorry?
I got to ask, what are the ages that you and Kevin hung out together? How old were you guys?
Well, Kevin and my brother were the same age. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when we... We started in like 68, so we were all like six.
Okay, so you're little tiny kids. Did you ever imagine that Kevin would grow up and be a successful, famous radio personality?
Oh, I thought something. It was so funny because I can remember way back in the 70s how much he loved music and stuff, and I can remember him and my brother always talking about. Like Three Dog Night and all this.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, and stuff like that. But no, it's
maybe that's why he threw rocks, because you kept interrupting me and your brother. Right?
Oh yeah, we had lots of fond memories.
Do you remember the time I chased you for a half a mile to the Little League baseball field to fight you, and then neither of us could fight because we were too tired?
I have a lot of fond memories.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Well, Robbie, this was a real thrill to have you on the air. As I said, your name has been mentioned hundreds of times throughout the years. Because every time we talk to Kevin about something that happened, we're like, Kevin, how did you not know that? Or how did you not watch that? Or how did you not read that? And his answer is always, because I was busy throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner. Like, he makes it sound like that's all he did for 15 solid years.
That's not all I did.
Well,
I mean, we fought.
So it's good to finally hear your side of the story, man. I'm glad you called, and we appreciate you listening when you're in town, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Robbie.
All right.
Okay. That was shocking.
How about that?
How strange is that?
That's pretty weird.
It's so weird. You just don't expect it. Now, why did you lose track of him? You just moved away to school and stuff, and you just
fell out of touch and did other things? Yeah. But, you know, he's...
Aren't you amazed that he doesn't hate you? He didn't call up because he thought, oh, this guy's a dick. I mean, he sounds like he had fond memories of those years.
We had a good time, but yeah, I am amazed he doesn't hate me. I'm amazed anybody that knows me doesn't hate me. What's good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show at 6:54.
Oh, my God.
Again? With that?
Heaven.
Just not important.
I did that on
purpose.
Doesn't matter. I just did that on purpose.
No,
you're
a magician.
I did that one on purpose.
You're a miracle. You're a blessing.
Ralph, I did that. How lucky are we, for all the fun that we make with Kevin, how lucky are we that we know the adult Kevin,
right?
Not the teenage Kevin?
At least he's never chased me for blocks trying to beat me up.
What kind of dick were you as a kid?
We terrorized each other, man.
You say that? Didn't sound like that from Robbie Joyner's perspective.
It sounded very one-sided, Kevin.
Remember that time I chased you for a mile to beat you up, and then I was too tired to beat you up, and when we got to the Little League field?
What kind of douchebag were you?
We had good times. That's all I know.
It doesn't sound good at all. Yeah. Rocks being thrown and people being chased. It sounds like it was a nightmare.
It was heaven. It was a fantastic childhood.
Would you ever let your kids behave the way you behave?
No,
Kevin?
He should have gotten in trouble. He was a dick for throwing rocks at me.
You threw rocks at him. You're the worst. You really are the
worst. All right. Friday morning, 6:55. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
And, of course, coming up next, a little Three Dog Night. Kevin and Robbie Joyner's brother. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, Blake Shelton. You guys watching The Voice?
No, sir.
They got me a little bit.
I like him.
They got me because I wanted to see Curly Sue. Remember we talked about that actress from Curly Sue? She was doing one of the blind auditions for the show. So I tuned in to watch that, ended up watching the whole episode. Damn, that's an entertaining show. It's like
Carson Daly is an excellent host.
It's the anti-American Idol.
It does everything American Idol does wrong.
The four of the judges are completely... likable and helpful and entertaining, and they obviously like each other, and there's banter and byplay. And Carson's an amazing host, and people come out, and they have success stories, and it's just fascinating. It's all the best things of American Idol, but done in a really entertaining fashion. And so Blake Shelton is likable as hell on that show. He has just announced he's now the spokesman for a new line of vodka. He will be plugging Smithworks Vodka, which started out just being distributed in 5 states, Arkansas, Colorado, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And now they are extending their reach beyond those states. And Blake Shelton apparently will be the spokesman for that vodka line. So, glug, 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 Blake.
Well, it's already working because I had never heard of that vodka line before they signed Blake Shelton. So he's getting the word out.
I think Blake likes to have a taste now and then.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Good old boy.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I'm not saying that. I'm just... Oh, by the way, speaking of television and drunks, Bill O'Reilly was just hammered last night.
He did seem...
He was hammered.
Liquored up.
Really?
Yeah.
Hammered.
When? During his show?
Yes. During the debate. And, the post-show and the debate just seemed loaded.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a drinking game going every time a presidential candidate mentioned his penis.
Yeah, maybe. It was... he just seemed blasted.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's like, and I'm coming back. I'm going to be talking to Ted Cruz. I was like, Ted Cruz? Really? He was Kevin Esklass. That's what he was. It's a good time. Hey, we're getting little by little. We're starting to find out who the secret stars are on the upcoming season 22 of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, this is always so exciting.
Yes. So far, two have been revealed. Jodi Sweetin, she will be dancing.
From Fuller House? Manson.
No, Charlie Manson did not make the cut this year. Fuller House star Jodi Sweetin, yes. And Kim Fields.
Tootie
from Facts of Life will be dancing as well. Already, this they've upped their game by tenfold over last season in terms of celebrities. These are two people I actually have seen
because
do
we can
something
identify
once.
Them in any way.
Right. Now it looks like Misha Barton.
From the OC
star. Oh, Misha Barton apparently will be dancing.
Don't you feel like something weird has gone on with her? Like she dropped out and went underground and isn't seen for years at a time?
There we go.
I mean, you
think she died?
She barely ever surfaces is what I'm saying. She doesn't seem to be acting anymore. No. Like what's her deal?
Terrorist.
Just living off the OC checks forever?
Hey, none of us know that. What the... Well, how much Misha Barton info do you think we have at our fingertips? Thought, seriously.
I'm
holding back. I have a reservoir of Misha Barton facts that I'm just keeping to myself selfishly, and I don't want to share with anyone. And you're going to be an investigative spotlight reporter and get me to spill my guts on the Misha Barton scandal?
Just thought you might be better informed than I am on this issue, and I was hoping you would share. But
you're
if you don't know,
to me.
If you don't know, I accept that.
And
I'm surprised to see you're doing something so high
profile.
Shut
up! It's Friday, boys and girls. We've had an
ass
full of each other. And Ginger Z. Ginger Z has been added to the cast for Dancing with the Stars. So we got Ginger Z to look forward to.
Weather lady?
F you for knowing
what?
Who Ginger Z is.
She's an ABC weather.
You
oh,
be- in the
meteorologist.
Ear. If F you right in your ear.
She took over for Sam Champion.
Now look. You go right to hell with him. If I say Ginger Z and anyone can say, oh, and tell me exactly who they are and then who they replace, you two, you get married and then you go right to hell.
Let's get married before hell?
Right.
Oh, jeez.
I want them to hold hands, Thelma and Louise style, in a convertible and go right off the cliff.
But Alvin's not going to be happy until there's an Ally B death-suicide murder pact.
Yeah, all three of those things are going to happen,
whatever they are.
Death and suicide and murder. I won't be happy until all three of those things happen. Well, I think two may guarantee the third, but I don't know. I don't know about such
things. He just wants to be safe.
I want to make sure all my bases are covered. I want the murder, suicide, and the death. I want it all.
All right.
I want Ginger Z to be in the trunk. You mean the meteorologist from ABC?
She's
yes,
very, very
she
talented.
She's Sam Champion.
And very pretty.
She's dead.
Today's
so it sounds like a pretty good batch of stars, though. For
all of a sudden, the guy who threw rocks is not so bad. You know what, Kevin? At this point, I would let you chase me and catch me to beat me up rather than continue this conversation any further. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Patricia Heaton.
Oh, Deborah.
She's on The Middle now? Is that her show?
She is on The Middle. Yeah. Yes. She is 58 years old today. ABC, by the way, just announced all the shows they're bringing back.
Yeah.
The Middle's one of them. Renewing a lot of shows. Dancing with the Stars, The Bachelor, Shark Tank, America's Funniest Home Videos. Yeah, that's still a thing.
Wow.
The Middle, as I mentioned, a lot of their comedies are coming back. Blackish, Modern Family, naturally. The Goldbergs, Fresh Off the Boat. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal, Grey's Anatomy, all of Shonda Rhimes' show are coming back. Once Upon a Time, Quantico. So they'll all be returning. No word yet, though, on Agent Carter.
Agent
so,
Carter, that's the one I was listening for.
We are.
No ABC Nashville is so either. Reliable, you guys.
No what?
No Nashville.
Oh, it's true, yeah.
God, you're so angry.
No what?
You missed it. The man in the box said something funny. Michael T. Williamson is 56 years old today. And Steven Weber celebrates his 55th birthday. And Landon Donovan. He is a former...
LA Galaxy, U.S. Right. soccer. Yeah.
They are the best soccer player from America. Lacrosse team.
No, it's soccer. Oh. Yeah.
I thought it was a real sport like lacrosse. Maybe. He is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Seriously, right? I mean, we know how that ends.
I think that's enough.
Like 10 more seconds of banjos. Right, we need that.
I think you made the right choice there.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, it's Friday, and that means today is the day that tickets are going on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. The show is coming up in less than a month, by the way. It's going to be on Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. We just announced it this past Monday, so if you're not familiar with the details yet, it's a great show that we put together every year with wonderful comedians who, out of the goodness of their own hearts, donate their time to come out and perform for us.
By the way, on a Saturday night when all of them are making money usually.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any one of them could go and make dough on that night, but they give up their evening for us, and we give all of the money to Fisher House and to Cedars-Sinai NICU, which are phenomenal local charities. We want you to support the cause and also have a great night with some of the best comedians in the world at the Shrine on April 2nd. Bob Saget is on the bill, Jay Moore, Eliza Schlesinger, Greg Fitzsimmons, Gabriel Iglesias, our friend Eddie Ift, comedy stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. It's going to be a phenomenal show. It is absolutely going to sell out. It always does. So this is your heads up that today at noon is when tickets go on sale through AXS.com. Lots of ranges in prices, all the way starting at $25, all the way up to the That's My John section with lots of extra free stuff you get on that for $99. What? Why are you laughing at me, Dave?
That's my John.
I said it right.
I know.
Noon today. Get all the details at KRock.com, and we'll see you at April Foolishness.
What's going on with you these days? All right. So yesterday we were talking to Allie. And, Allie, why don't you tell the people what happened to you yesterday morning or whenever it was? When
my alarm goes off. Uh-huh. I do what I do. I get in the shower. I just washed my hair. And then the last thing I remember was kind of falling over. And then I woke myself back up. I fell asleep standing up in the shower. Who does that?
I don't know. Dave is here raising his
Dave
hand.
Raising his what? Hand.
Because I've been, you know, I've been, I might die tired,
uh-huh.
but I could never fall asleep standing up. I just couldn't. I
would. Yeah, you're not a horse.
I would lay down. I would lay down. And it's never happened.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And had I not been falling over, I wonder how long I was
You'd
out.
You'd still be in the shower.
Yeah, I would be. He's so clean.
Now, Allie, are you somebody who has narcoleptic tendencies or has had a problem in the past with, being in a waiting room at the doctor's office and all of a sudden you realize you've nodded off in places like that?
I cannot sleep. I will lay down and for 2 hours I'm thinking, I got to fall asleep. If I fall asleep now, I'll have 8 hours. Fall asleep now, I'll have 7. Fall asleep now, I'll have 6. I can't sleep. So the fact that I just nodded off in the shower concerns me.
And this is the first time it's ever happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dave is That's the opposite horrible. Of that.
Yeah,
it is a miracle when Dave is – when we're having a meeting and we look up and Dave is still awake, like his eyes are open, we're stunned because Dave falls asleep everywhere, all the time, always. Where are some of the places that you've nodded off, King?
You name it, I've slept there.
Oh.
You know.
I envy that so much.
Right.
I think, like, the best ones are the Kiss concert. I think I was in the third row, Bean, right?
And yes. Dave and I went to see Kiss with Ted Nugent, and I looked over at one point during Kiss, who, by the way, are incredibly loud, with fireworks going off and everything like that. And Dave was sound asleep in the third row at a Kiss concert. Like, I don't know how you could, if you were drugged, I don't know how you could sleep that close
to
Kiss.
You know, in the shower, I've done that, where I just sleepwalk into the shower and just continue to go to sleep. You know, strip club driving.
Strip club?
Yeah.
They're working hard for your money and you're sleeping?
Oh, right on the runway. Asleep? Right on the runway.
What's a runway?
You know, where the girls come down and they walk. And everyone's throwing cash. Sure. You know, and then, you know.
Dave's not throwing so much cash.
Yeah, I have my dollar in the air. He's dozing. You know.
And I understand you're able to sleep with actually a cocktail in your hand and you don't spill it.
I've done that before, yeah.
You used to be worse. You used to fall asleep in the car, right?
I used to be way worse. Now I'm not so bad, but yeah, when I was in my 20s, I was just like, I could fall asleep anywhere, anytime. And,
well, this sounds medical.
That's so great.
I don't think it was. I think it was just me being me and, you know, running myself tired. And then, you know, I fall asleep at the dentist's office while they're working on me.
While they're drilling?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
What?
Well, you know. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk about the places where you have found yourself sound asleep. Isn't our friend Jimmy Kimmel, doesn't he have this sort of problem too? Isn't he one of those guys with the narcolepsy? Falls asleep all the time?
I don't remember that.
Allie, you heard from some listeners when we brought it up the other morning early. What are they saying?
Yeah, a guy named Eric Butterfield on Twitter said, in the middle of the afternoon after a good night's sleep, I fell asleep, then woke up a second later while riding my motorcycle.
Oh!
Whoa! That's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, and along those same lines, we have a listener. His name is Dan in Calgary, Canada. He said he usually rides his bike, a commute over 20 kilometers each way. I don't speak Canadian, but I think that's a lot. And once at the end of a particularly long week, I nodded off while riding home on his bike.
Wow.
I mean, you're active. Yeah. You're in the middle of pedaling.
That's not always. You could coast every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just nod right off.
Cuckoo.
I was once at an important dinner for my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just nodded right off. Right
at
off
dinner.
And, yeah, right at dinner. In the middle of conversation. Sweet. I was in the conversation.
Were you talking?
We were talking.
What do you mean,
I was talking.
Dave
I said
was
a
talking.
Word. You know,
oh,
you know
so.
I pitched in my comments and then woke up and, right back at it. And then.
Gosh.
All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls on this. You fell asleep where? That's the question at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Corey. He's in Long Beach, line one. If you had given me 100 guesses of where a listener would have fallen asleep, I would not have predicted what Corey is about to tell us. Welcome to the show, sir. What's going on?
Nothing much. I said in work.
You fell asleep where?
I was bowling.
What? All right. Now, the important question here is, were you waiting for your friends to take their turn, or did you have the ball in your hand?
I literally was walking up to the line. I pulled my arm back, and the next thing you know, I hear somebody go thud behind me. That's when I wake up and realize I dropped the ball.
Oh, my God.
And it was going backwards.
What?
Corey, were you drunk?
No, it was like they like to go bowling 2 in the morning because it's cheap. And
I don't care about that. If you have a bowling ball in your hand and you're moving forward,
right.
I don't care what time it is. How do you fall asleep?
I just did. I could not stay awake. I was
wow.
Corey's magic.
Is that the only time that's happened to you, or are you a guy that happens to a lot?
I nod off, but not usually when I'm being active.
Yeah. Right. All right. That's great stuff, Corey. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to line two, please. Amanda's in Santa Clarita. She hears that you fell asleep at a Kiss concert, Dave, and she would like to top that.
All right, Amanda. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I was at a Misfits concert, and it was a standing concert. And the next thing I know, I'm literally asleep standing up, and my boyfriend is shaking me to wake me up. So that was the first one that I fell asleep at. And then, do you remember the Golden God Awards?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I think it was the first year, and it was Megadeth performing, and I passed out.
She wins.
Asleep during Megadeth.
So you fell asleep during Misfits and Megadeth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Megadeth.
Wow.
What does it take to keep you interested?
I don't know. Apparently not really extreme music.
I guess not. All right, Amanda, thank you for the call.
Other concerts Dave has fallen asleep at, Slayer and Radiohead. I missed a complete Radiohead show at the Hollywood Bowl because I just decided to take a nap.
At
the Hollywood Bowl.
You went to the show. You parked.
Went to it.
Parked, you got to your seat.
Got to my seat.
Missed the whole show.
Missed the whole show. Took a nap.
How about movies, Dave? I bet a lot of people fall asleep at movies, but how about you?
Oh, I've paid a lot of money to take great naps. Yeah. I went to see Hellboy 2 twice. Fell asleep both times. I said, it probably wasn't
forget
a good
it
movie.
Then.
Yeah, I said, it probably wasn't a good movie.
I mean, at least that's understandable, though, because you're sitting down and you're quiet and you're in the dark. At least I understand falling asleep. I went to
an IMAX screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, the fourth one. As soon as Jack came on the screen, knocked out, woke up, it was the credits.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's IMAX. Fantastic. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Where did you fall asleep? Your call's next on K-Rock. UFC insider Ariel Helwani joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be talking all about UFC 196. You know, you got your Conor McGregor versus your Nate Diaz, and you also got your Holly Holm versus your Misha Tate. It's going to be a hell of a bill in Las Vegas. We'll talk to Ariel about all of that. Right now, we're taking your calls on where you fell asleep. We're hearing from a lot of listeners. Dan writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, I fell asleep during a job interview. I did not get the job. Armin writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, I was manning a 50 caliber machine gun while on patrol in Iraq when I fell asleep.
Oh, my God.
And then Mr. B writes in, guys at work, I can't call, but I fell asleep at church. I was on stage behind the pulpit reading scripture in front of 4,000 people.
Excellent.
He was the minister. They were his services that he fell asleep during.
Wow.
Aww. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's give Ryan a shot on line two, please, South El Monte.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You fell asleep where and when?
Oh, man, this is embarrassing. It was in Vegas, and I was pleasing my girlfriend.
Oh, Ryan.
And you fell asleep?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a long night of partying, and then, you know, how that goes.
Sure. And at one point, she's thinking, well, he's taking a breath. That's okay. Hey, wait a minute. Where are you, Ryan? Are you done? Get back to work.
She actually woke me up because I started snoring.
Wow. Well done, sir. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Let's try Jonathan Corona, line four, please, talking about where you fell asleep and maybe you shouldn't have. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so I was having a root canal done. I'd been working a whole lot of overtime, and, you know, they numbed me up and started working, and that was it. I was out.
That's best case scenario, though, right? That's when you want to fall asleep.
It was perfect. The dentist said, you know, that's the biggest compliment I've ever been paid.
Wow.
You literally fell asleep. He had to shake me. He's like, my God, I thought you were just relaxed.
Did you tell him it's not all you? I had a late night?
No, I just let him take the credit and enjoy
all right.
it. You
oh,
know?
Okay.
It was a great day.
You're a good man.
Doesn't top the guy with the 50 cal fall.
No.
Yeah, right?
That's crazy.
Thank you for the call. Speaking of dentists, Marissa writes in. She has a Kevin and Bean listener streaming us from Seattle right now. The dentist I work with fell asleep while working on a patient. All right, this is a dentist falling asleep. She says it happened multiple times. I have also worked with a hygienist who's fallen asleep while cleaning someone's teeth.
Wow.
So that's a fairly relaxed office, it sounds like. All right, let's go to Carla in Burbank, line five. Allie, you tell me if you've ever heard of anything like this.
Carla just hung up.
No.
Oh.
Carla.
Carla fell asleep, she said, while having her eyebrows waxed. Doesn't that seem like the type of thing that is painful enough that it would keep you awake or
it
no?
It would.
Do I not know anything about eyebrow waxing?
It's pretty
you
aggressive.
You know enough.
Yeah.
You know enough. Let's go to Shane in Corona. Hi, Shane.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. You fell asleep where?
I was in the Army. I joined the Army in like 2005, and in AIT, which is where you go to school for your training, you know, just still trying to adjust to the Army life. And they tell me to stand up because I'm passing out, and then next thing you know, I'm actually standing up, and then I'm knocked out. The next thing you know, I hear a drill sergeant say, finally in rest position, move, and then that's pretty much when I wake up, but the whole class are laughing at me, and then I just have to do like 80 push-ups, and then that was pretty much
good
it.
Good times.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Any story that ends with, then I have to do 80 push-ups, is not a story that I want to be anywhere near. All right, thank you for the call. Let's do one more, and let's make it Tim and Whittier. He's on line seven, please. This is perhaps terrible, terrible timing for nap time.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so I was driving home late night, and I fell asleep while I was behind the wheel, and I ran a red light.
Okay.
And so a cop was right there, and they saw me. So they pulled me over, and I was able to see them, you know, so I make a left-hand turn to get pulled over to the street. And by the time the cop, you know, got behind me and walked to my car, I had fallen back asleep. And he was, like, on the wind.
When he got up to your window, you were already asleep.
Asleep again.
I was, like, out. And he was there, like, knocking. He told me, like, I've been knocking for 30 seconds. And yeah, I was out. So he's like, "Are you drunk?" No, you know, I don't drink anything like that. But yeah.
Oh,
so
Jim.
What are they? I mean, did he give you a ticket for running a red light and for something else, or just the red light ticket?
No, I didn't get a ticket at all. He just told me to take my keys out of the ignition and stay in my car and go to sleep right there.
How about that? That was very cool of him.
Very nice.
No complaints.
Nice job. Kevin, your level of interest on the fights this weekend?
10.
Couldn't be any higher, right?
Yep.
Been waiting for this a long time. Very excited to welcome to the program Ariel Helwani. He is the UFC insider from Fox Sports. You will be seeing a lot of his face on your TV over the next couple of days. Ariel, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, guys, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure.
It's our pleasure. We're so excited about this weekend, and we've been fans of yours for a long time, so I'm glad we could finally get together. Why don't we start by talking about what happened yesterday with Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz on the same stage. It was a melee.
Yeah, it was pretty memorable. I mean, at first it was the press conference, and if you saw last week's press conference, you had a sense of what was going to happen.
Right.
This was kind of a notch higher. They were going back and forth. Nate was a little more aggressive with his comments, and then they faced off. And this time Dana White was in the middle. They squared up. Nate put his fist pretty close to Conor's face. And then Conor, at first I thought he slapped Nate's hand away, but upon further review and watching it a million times in super slow-mo, it appears as though he pretty much punched it away, which, you know, thankfully I've been told from Nate's team that he was not injured, nothing serious happened, but that could have been a pretty ugly situation. And then all hell broke loose, and both teams jumped on the stage. Every fighter in both camps was there, but I got to give a lot of credit to the UFC and the security there, because it was almost like watching a football drill. Every single person on the stage who wasn't a member of Team McGregor or Team Diaz, you know, picked up a man and just blocked him, and nothing worse happened. It could have been a really ugly situation, but thankfully it was defused.
How much of that, in your opinion, Ariel, being around these guys a lot and knowing them well, is just for show, just hype for the fight, and how much of it is, I dislike this person so much, I cannot control my emotions in this moment?
This is always a very interesting question to answer, because, look, at the end of the day, and in particular Conor McGregor, he's a very smart man. He's a very smart businessman. He likes to talk about this often, and this is the fight business. And the goal is to make as much money as possible. So deep down, even though they may not admit it, every single person on that stage knows that a few more pay-per-views were sold as a result of that melee yesterday. That being said, I do sincerely believe that there is a personal grudge between Conor McGregor and Nathan Diaz. They've been going back and forth for quite some time. It got very personal last week at the press conference with Nate Diaz accusing Conor McGregor of being on steroids, and Conor's talking about how much money Diaz makes or doesn't make, his clothes. That's personal. You know, you're a human being, and you have feelings, you have emotions. That's going to annoy you. So, and then when he punched his hand away, I think then it took a whole other, you know, it took a whole other level of personal grudge. So today is going to be very interesting. Today is the weigh-in, and you can watch it on FS1, and it's going to be I'm told that there's an intense amount of security on standby for that weigh-in, because they're going to face off again. And at this point, the UFC doesn't want anything to happen, because there's a fight that they're trying to get people to buy tomorrow night.
If Nate Diaz was not a great smack talker, would he have gotten this fight?
Another great question. The squeaky wheel often gets the grease in this sport. It's fascinating, because let's say the Spurs were about to play the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and Tim Duncan got injured. You would never see in the NBA or any other professional sport for that matter where, you know, the commissioner would stand by and say, all right, well, who's been talking smack? Let's put that team in there. You know? But that's essentially what happened here. I mean, his resume doesn't necessarily suggest the fact that, okay, you know, I think he's 5-5 in his last 10, Nate Diaz is, but he's incredibly popular. People love watching him fight. He connects with the audience. He has a very, very loyal fan base, and he's been doing a great job of building this up. And the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, on that front was when he won in December. He got on the mic on Fox and went on this crazy rant with 1,000 F-bombs. You couldn't even hear it if you were watching at home because there were so many F-bombs.
Ariel, so I watched that post-interview on Fox, and there was literally no sound for the entire interview.
Nope, and just Joe Rogan's face, like, what is happening?
It was great. See, this is the thing about Conor. Conor, in his last few fights, has been fighting guys who haven't talked back to him, and people have been
waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen when someone talks back to him? What's going to happen when someone flips him off? Well, here's the interesting part that's been developing, and I'm really curious to see what happens on Saturday. None of that has ever happened to Diaz, to Nate, or Nick. People have, when they fight the Diaz brothers, they don't flip them off. They don't talk trash in the cage, and Connor's doing that to them. So I think he's trying to get ahead of the game here and turn them. All kinds of gamesmanship and mind games being played, and that's what makes it so fun.
Look, the UFC has done a brilliant job with this fight. They've got a great product, and they've got great fighters. But let's all remember, this fight has only been on the books for a few weeks. Remember, we all thought it was going to be the Dos Santos fight, and they have been able to generate so much interest in such a short amount of time that we almost forget the fight that we're not going to see. I mean, this is a non-title welterweight fight that we're all so excited about. I mean, great job, UFC.
Guys, forget about a few weeks. Try 11 days.
11 days.
Is that all it's been?
Yes, that's all it's been. But that's the beauty of both Nate and Connor, because they've been building up to this point for a long time. So you can go back to old footage and old interviews and stuff, and it's all right there for you. You know, it to me, in my opinion, speaks to Nate Diaz's influence, his fan base, and in a weird way, his brilliance, because this is a guy who isn't a champion, who, like I said, kind of a 500 record as well. He's coming off a fantastic win. But there is more interest in this fight, in this welterweight fight between a featherweight champion and a lightweight, than a fight that was going to make history. The original fight was Rafael Dos Anjos, the lightweight champion, fighting the featherweight champion, Conor McGregor. No man or woman has ever held two titles in two different weight classes at the same time. Conor McGregor was on the verge of history, and yet there are more people interested in this fight that really has no stakes other than pride, you know, the trash, all that stuff. That's amazing to me, and I think that speaks to Nate Diaz's influence.
Conor McGregor makes a lot of predictions and pretty much delivers. He says this fight is not going to go into the second round. Do you think he can do that?
Well, at this point, I'm not going to argue against Conor McGregor.
Same.
As you mentioned, he has been pretty spot on with his predictions. I think when you listen to his words, you can almost envision what he is trying to do, and a lot of people are often afraid or reluctant to put out their game plan in this sport, but he's pretty much putting it out there. He's talking about Diaz's body, and he says that he thinks he has a soft body, so that leads me to believe that, you know, he's going to attack the body. He talks about Diaz's right leg. That leads me to believe that he's going to attack the right leg. So he's putting it out there. Now it's up to Nate Diaz to stop it. It's unfortunate. We talked about how great it has been over the past 10 days or so, the build-up to this. I do, in the back of my mind, really wish that Nate had a full training camp for this fight, because Conor was preparing for a massive fight. Nate, while he typically does stay in relatively good shape, wasn't in fight shape when he got the call. So that, to me, is the only sort of cloud hanging over this. I wish he had a full camp going to such a big fight.
What if Misha Tate wins and yes. Nate Diaz wins? Oh, what my. Will happen to Dana White? I am so concerned.
Hell will freeze over.
Right?
No, you know, this is the beauty of the fight game. I think a lot of people have asked me about the Misha Tate scenario. What if she beats Holly Holm? Is that a massive, you know, mistake by the UFC, all that stuff? And I think the UFC can't really do any wrong in this scenario, because, first off, I kind of believe that the winner of this fight will probably fight another time before
right.
Ronda even comes back. A. B. As you guys know, Ronda and Misha have had a long-standing feud. And now you put this new layer on the feud with Misha's champion going up against Ronda. In the back of Ronda's mind, I kind of think that she's probably hoping for Misha to win, because she already knows that she beat her twice. She has that confidence. She doesn't have to go against someone who, you know, beat the brakes off of her. So I don't really think that the UFC loses out. Of course, the Holm-Rousey fight is a massive rematch. It will do a lot of pay-per-view, all that stuff and more. But Misha still has that storyline with Ronda, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And by the way, if Misha wins, who knows? Maybe they do the immediate rematch between Holly and Misha before Ronda comes back. So they try not to think about those scenarios going into these fights, because the sport is so wacky and literally anything can happen.
That is good analysis right there. Yeah, I'm almost surprised that both of these fights are on the same card, because I think they have missed out on a lot of talk. You know what I mean? Like, we would all be talking about Holly Holm right now if this were the headline fight, but they're kind of operating in the shadows over the McGregor fight. But what a great night this Saturday night, Ariel. I bet you're psyched.
Oh, man, you know, it's funny. I when I was a kid growing up in Montreal, I used to dream. I never been to Las Vegas, and I used to dream of what it would be like to cover a big boxing fight in Vegas, you know, because that was the main combat sport. And now
sure.
Here I am in the midst of this storm in Las Vegas, and I do not take this for granted. It is such an honor and pleasure to be in the midst of all this and covering it and having a job
You know, with Fox and MMA trying to do it, it's really something special. I love this. This right now, like the Friday before the fight, the real calm before the storm is a really cool feeling because you can feel the buzz building. The Irish fans are coming. If you've never experienced it in person, in particular in Vegas, I do suggest checking it out. And I'm not getting paid to say that. It's just pretty damn cool.
We're going to be looking for you all over Fox Sports 1 for the weigh-in show, for the pre-fight show, for the prelims, for the post-fight and everything. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ariel Helwani and UFC Tonight. Thanks so much for the time. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again, Ariel. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks.
It is 7:52.
The very funny actor Will Forte, star of Last Man on Earth, returning on Fox this weekend, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, sir?
Good news for one of your faves being Niecy Nash in the news.
I love Niecy.
You remember her?
Yeah, she's my favorite of the Real Housewives.
Yeah, once
That's
again.
Nene Leakes.
What?
Nene Leakes.
I know that she uses, look, Niecy she Nash. Uses a different name on the reality show than she does for her acting, but it's the same person. Go on.
Different people. She's having a nice upswing in her career. She's got picked up for another season of Scream Queens. She'll play in the same character, Denise Hempel, who was the college campus security in season one. And now she's the security at a new location, a hospital. So I'm guessing things won't go well there either.
Yeah.
She should find a new line of work, maybe get out of security. Get into something a little safer. Speaking of Fox.
What?
Uh-oh. Are we looking forward to the Lethal Weapon TV series on Fox? Is that something we
is that a thing?
Need? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fox really? TV is putting together Lethal Weapon. Jordana Brewster has just joined the cast. She's playing an LAPD hostage negotiator and in-house therapist who works with traumatized cops. You may remember the role from the feature film. It's the one who's there was a doctor who was working with Mel Gibson's character because he had lost his wife, and she was trying to help him.
Just barely remember that.
Yeah, she'll be playing that role. No word yet on who will be playing is it Riggs? Yeah, Riggs, Martin
that
Riggs
right.
is,
yeah.
Is the Mel Gibson character. No casting there yet, but we do know he's going to play Murtaugh, the Danny Glover character. Damon Wayans will be Murtaugh.
Damon Wayans Jr.?
No, senior.
Oh.
Did you say Damon Wayans?
Because he's getting too old for this.
That's what I hear, yeah.
So senior will be taken over.
Ralph, I know you often
say... I'm less
say,
interested now than I was a minute ago.
Which you often it's say much. It's okay to have a new idea, but...
Yeah, it's preferable, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Not just
and
okay.
And I've been seeing the promos for the Rush Hour TV series, too. That's also happening.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
And they just hired a guy who's not Chris Tucker to play Chris Tucker. And I'm just thinking it's the same thing with this Lethal Weapon. Is you're just hiring people that aren't the people from the movies that we liked to do things that aren't as good on the TV show. What's the point of that?
Listen, TV's in a desperate state, and networks are saying, if there's any possible angle we can market the crap out of this thing, then just let's do that instead of something new. Let's just fix something that has any degree of name recognition, and we'll just...
Just because it's easier to sell?
Well, yeah, we'll just throw that up. Hopefully people know the name Lethal Weapon, so they'll tune in confused.
I mean, look, it does...
Maybe accidentally they'll tune in.
It does work sometimes. I mean, look at Fargo as a perfect example of brilliant television that we could have easily mocked as being, why are you taking the Fargo movie and adapting it for TV? But they did it, and it's great. But I feel like that's a 1 in 100, a show like that comes along.
Are we much better off with shows like American Crime or, you know, stuff, original storytelling with new characters and actors you haven't seen necessarily play those kind of roles before? Isn't that just much better television?
Yes.
I would think so.
I would like to see more of that, yes.
Speaking of American Crime, still haven't heard from ABC whether they're getting picked up for another season or not. And if they don't get picked up, I'm going to be burning some mothers down. Because that show this year has been insane.
Phenomenal.
So good.
Is next week really the season finale?
Yes, and I'm watching this past episode. I'm like, how can they possibly wrap it all up in one episode?
And you weren't into the Sebastian Internet Warrior guy. What about now?
No, too much.
Okay.
Too much.
All right.
They're really a stretch. You know, look, it's a great show. And many of these storylines, I think, in and of themselves would be fascinating television. But when you start to add them all together, it's subtraction by addition.
Yeah.
I think it's just too many plot lines going on to really service them at any point. Like the principal of the public high school of Marshall, do we really care what's going on with him, whether he loses his job or not? Why are we spending any time over there?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, and I don't get it. And I don't understand how they're going to wrap every single storyline up next week.
Well, I guess we'll watch and see.
Magic.
All right. Oh. I forgot about Magic.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah.
ABC has announced the shows they have renewed. Quantico will be coming back. All of Shonda Rhimes' dramas, Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder have been re-upped. Once Upon a Time with all those witches and princesses and stuff. That's coming back. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and a lot of the comedies from ABC have been renewed fresh off the boat. The Goldbergs, Modern Family, of course, Blackish, The Middle, and then Dancing with the Stars, The Bachelor, Shark Tank, and America's Funniest Home Videos have also gotten another order. So
sounds like ABC's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Well, they're reliable. You know, you can always count on
you
that.
Really
I've
can.
Heard that.
That's what I like
I've
about
heard
ABC.
That.
Thank you for
I didn't
noticing.
Hear the words Agent Carter
yeah.
coming out of your pie hole there,
it.
By the way.
Tell me about it. That is still, as they say, on the bubble.
Hmm.
As is American Crime, by the way. So.
As is Nashville.
Yeah. Well, Nashville has been for many seasons now, so we'll have to wait and see.
Back March 16th, by the way.
All right. Good chat.
I love that show.
Well, we're talking about Dancing with the Stars being renewed. Season 22 is coming up. 22nd season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
We're starting to find out some of the celebrities... In quotes.
The Monkees.
The Monkees aren't performing this Aww. Year. I'd pay money to see Mickey Dolenz out there doing the Paso Doble. No, Kim Fields from Facts of Life will be. However, Jodie Sweetin from Full/Fuller House.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
No, O.J. Jackson Jr. did not make the cut this year. But Misha Barton did from the O.C.
I'm going to give you Buddy Rich.
Nope. Nope, Buddy Rich is well dead.
Gene Krupa.
Also passed.
And Max Weinberg.
I think Max is still around, but I don't think he's dancing.
What happened to Amy
Sister
Winehouse?
Sledge.
Sister Sledge and Amy Winehouse both missed the mark, but thank you for...
Paul?
Paul did not make it.
Bean.
Bean is also not going to be there.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Let's back up for a second. How great would Bean on Dancing with the Stars be? Would that, I would give a year's salary... One full year's salary to see Bean participate. He'd have to do every episode, but I would like to see him participate in an entire season of Dancing with
Agreed.
The Stars. Nothing would bring me more joy.
Professor from Gilligan's Island.
Professor is not alive any longer.
Turd Ferguson.
Not a real person.
Who is Anne Frank?
Also gone. Oh. But Ginger Z, popular adult entertainer Ginger Z will be
performing. She's a meteorologist.
I love that thing where she wears her ankles for earrings.
Nope.
Nope, that's not her.
Totally different person.
Remember that You, Me, and Z? Remember that movie
she
made?
She's a weather lady.
Not
weather
with a name on, like Ginger Z. She's not a weather lady.
On ABC. Yeah.
Yes. Very popular. Very talented.
Took over for Sam Champion.
Well, she should look into a career in adult film. Because Ginger Z is an awesome porn name. Right? Who's with me?
Sure.
Thank you.
Ginger V would be better. But...
Today's celebrity birthday. I think that's taken. Today's celebrity birthday is Dandon... Lonovan. I'm not familiar with this person.
Landon Donovan.
What?
Landon Donovan.
We have to agree to disagree on this one.
That's his name.
Apparently he played...
soccer.
Croquet. Professional croquet.
Galaxy.
Says here.
U.S.
We're all in the same galaxy, Kevin. We're all in the U.S.
Greatest American soccer player ever.
Hmm.
Whatever that is.
You'd think I would have heard of him if that was the case. He's 34 years old today. Actor Steven Weber. One of my favorites. Always good in everything he does. 55 years old today.
You don't watch iZombie, but he is great on that show, too.
I can't take on every new show I want to see.
I know.
I saw one or two episodes of iZombie, really liked it, but then
really
just
good.
Got overwhelmed. Especially with episodics and hour-longs and stuff. This is too much.
Hour-long shows are very tough to work into your schedule.
You know, I'm starting to squeeze in a couple more sitcoms, though, a couple more comedy, half-hour comedies. I can go home at the end of the day when we're done here and have lunch and watch one of those before I have to pass out and sleep in the shower. But I've taken up Grandfathered. Have you been watching Grandfathered with John Stamos?
I've seen it.
And Padgett Brewster.
Good, yeah.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah, it's good.
Very.
Yeah, it's good.
Michael T. Williamson's 56 years old today. And Patricia Heaton, of course, from Everybody Loves Raymond. Now The Middle, which has also got renewed. She's 58. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited to welcome our next guest. He is a very funny man, a writer, an actor, and the star of Last Man on Earth, returning to Fox this weekend, Sunday night at 9:30 on Fox. It's Will Forte. Now, Will,
hello.
I kind of buried the lead because the thing that most impresses me about you is your phenomenal beard game. I mean, you are a champion.
Thank you.
And that beard on the show is yours for reals, right?
It is. Yeah, there was talk about
doing a fake beard, but you can just tell when somebody has a fake beard. Although I recently saw that. Did you guys watch the Oscars?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And did you see the special effects when they're announcing the special effects nominees, and they show every – they do that thing where they show kind of the stripped-down version of a scene.
Right.
And then they add each layer of effect. Uh-huh. And there was one – unless I'm crazy, Matt Damon didn't have a beard, and they digitally put a beard on him.
No.
I missed that.
Looked very real. Did you see
everything about Matt Damon's real?
I saw that, and I was surprised by the same thing.
Yeah, and I was like, why?
Because they put like two or three different layers, one after the other, on him to show what they did with the special effects.
But then I saw a very realistic-looking beard in a closer shot that wasn't covered by space mask. And if that wasn't an actual beard, like I thought, oh, maybe he grew the beard and then took it off for like the parts where he was under the mask.
Yeah. So you think he's a poser?
No.
And you're the real thing.
No, I think I'm crazy because why wouldn't I do that situation?
Yeah. I heard that the bear in The Revenant was a llama until they got everything put on him.
That was just a hair addition situation.
She made it hairier.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm excited to see it.
The bear is...
I haven't seen that yet.
You won't believe the bear isn't real. It's so realistic. And that's why what you're saying about making fake hair on an actor in a movie makes a lot of sense, because they can do anything now. And in Matt Damon's case, you know, in The Martian, they could have shot those scenes in whatever order they wanted, and then when they put the movie together, added the beer on as appropriate. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Now, Bean, are you angry at Will for mostly trimming a lot of that off now when he came in here today?
I feel like he's... I feel like Will is so manly that they give him 48 hours notice and he can turn up with a beard.
Whatever kind of beard they need, he
can make that beard happen. But he knows that he can do that at any time, so he doesn't have to keep it all the time.
I see.
It's you know, the guy who's playing the Jesus on The Walking Dead, I don't know if you watched that or not, Will, he did not have a beard, and they did the thing where they pasted it onto his face.
Yeah.
That's how and he said it was miserable. You can't believe how hot and uncomfortable and miserable that was. What's a real life big bushy beard like when you're filming Last Man on Earth?
It's not bad. It really isn't bad. I mean,
it looks terrible.
It does.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it looks terrible. It looks like it would be terrible
like
to have.
Yeah.
It'd be hot.
You know? It
seems like a pain in the ass.
It is terrible. It does look kind of terrible. But it's not bad for me. I'm saying it's terrible for other people, like people who have to like look at me.
Right, but I was saying the opposite. I don't mind looking at you, but I'm thinking having it would be a terrible.
I mean, it isn't any kind of temperature problem. In fact, I had to shave it off for something. I did not take this off willy-nilly. In fact, it's kind of like a security blanket. So but there was a reason that I took it off, and I felt such a temperature difference. So it's not a problem with heat in the summer, but I definitely did feel less temperature protected when I took it off in the winter.
I know, when it gets down to like 60
easier way to say that. Why am I saying
you feel the breeze?
When it goes from 71 to 69, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Right. how about in your real life, walking around, did the beard afford you a level of anonymity, perhaps, that you have not enjoyed in some time since you've been so well known?
That's the weird thing. People would never really stop me. I would have some people, but definitely when I would walk around with my SNL friends, I was the person who would get stopped the least.
Would you mind taking a picture?
The camera all the time.
You're Jason Sudeikis' friend. Will you take our picture?
Yeah. There was a pang in my heart because that happened many, many, many times. No, but oddly, like the move that most people would do is if you're like a big star or something, you would grow a beard to hide. And for some reason, the show, the beard from the show, like enough people watched the show that the beard was had the opposite effect. And so like now, having just shaved it off, nobody comes up to me at all. But when I had the beard, I noticed way more people coming up.
Huh.
That's interesting.
What about the
By the way, when I was talking about, when you're a big, that was for other, I was referring to other people. That was not in any way saying.
We got it.
I am a yes.
You're a big star, but you were playing it off.
Right, exactly. I would like other people to.
Will, did you see? Have you seen Letterman's beard since he retired?
I have. I haven't seen the latest, but I have seen a version
amazing.
Of his.
Amazing!
It's like a mountain man. It's hot.
A mountain man.
It's hey, not hot.
It is hot.
It's swallowing him whole.
Letterman's hot. Letterman with a beard is hot.
Do you have a grandpa fetish or something, Allie?
A little bit.
Did Santa touch you when you were little? What happened there?
I wish.
Hey now. Will, I have a lot of questions about Last Man on Earth, so I don't want you to think I'm not going to get there. But I do have to ask, because you mentioned Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And I always am fascinated with this discussion, because we've had a lot of SNL people on the show over the years. How difficult a decision is it to leave that show?
It was very hard. It was hard. I mean, it was...
You were there for how long? How many years?
8 years.
And you were a big, big player. You knew you were going to have steady work that you enjoyed every single week with some of your best friends in the world. And it yes. has to just be terrifying to go, look, lots of people have left SNL and have had great careers and been very happy. Lots of others kind of regretted it after the fact, I think, or wished it had gone better for them. And you don't know which way it's going to go for you when you leave. So how did you pro and con that before you made that decision?
It was a very... It was a tough thing because I was certainly not I was very proud of the stuff I did there, but I was not by any means the guy that's like, oh, that's the one that's going to make it. But the thing that I had in my back pocket was that I was a writer before going to SNL. So I just thought, okay, you know what? It's going to be a crapshoot no matter when I leave. And I loved writing so much, I can just go back to being a writer. So I really, there was no reason for me to believe that I would ever get an acting job again.
You would have been perfectly happy writing, but not acting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just lucked out. I just assumed I would go back to writing, and I went back and somehow got a couple jobs. And then out of nowhere, that Nebraska job came. Like, that was what kind of helped me, you know, I still write, and I still think that at some point people will get sick of me acting, and I'll go back to being a writer. But like somehow that I think helped, you know, pave the way for the show that I'm getting to do now. And
you created this show. This is your show, Last Man on Earth.
Yep.
This was an idea you had for a long time, or something that you came up with once you sat down and started staring at a black page after SNL?
This was my friends Chris Miller and Phil Lord, and they were the guys who directed the Lego Movie and 22 Jump Street. Complete hackers, yes. They asked me if I wanted to write something with them together. So we all got together for a couple days and went through every notebook we ever had, and we both had some kind of Last Man on Earth idea, and at first we thought, oh, this is stupid, let's not do it, because it seemed very Gilligan's Island-y to us, which I love that show, by the way. And the funny thing is, and then we came back to it a couple like the next day and thought of it in a different way, in kind of a more grounded way. And the funny thing is it now is kind of Gilligan's Island-y, so it really is. There was never any way that it was not going to turn out Gilligan's Island-y. We love Gilligan's Island, so why not?
The difference is, though, that there's no hope of rescue for your group on Last Man on Earth. Like, this is life now, right? This is
That's
the new
true.
Reality forever.
That is true.
When you ran into somebody else, why did you think of changing the name of the show? Because it's no longer accurate.
No.
Okay. I'm good with that.
That was always the plan. We knew going in that we were going to meet all those people, and what was my God? I had a great answer for that, because I would get that all the time, and mm-hmm. it was.
I can't help.
Oh, that. I know what it was.
Yeah.
It was like. The show Frasier. There are other people on that show, but they still call it Frasier, right?
But they don't call it Frasier's the only guy
now
in this show.
Oh, there's another guy. Now it's got to be called Frasier and Niles. Oh, and there's the woman. Now it's Frasier and Niles and the...
Your show is the last man on Earth.
And Roz. What's that?
Your show is the last man on Earth.
Hey, go to hell, man.
Thank you. Well, you just said something we've been wanting to say for years, and you're the first person brave enough to, to do it.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
You can stay.
Will Forte is here. The show is Last Man on Earth. It returns to Fox this Sunday night at 9:30. A quick break. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock.
Actor Will Forte in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the star of Last Man on Earth, which is coming back for, is this the second half of season two that starts Sunday? Is that where we're at?
The second half of season two starts Sunday, and there are 8 episodes, and they're... we got some good stuff coming up.
What surprises you that when you guys sat down and started mapping out this show of how it was going to be, what didn't you foresee that you ended up doing on the show during the course that it's been on so far?
Oh, man. I think the biggest surprise, we were so nervous about the amount of time. We knew we wanted to start out with just me for a while and see if we could somehow make that work. And we were nervous about doing that too long because we just thought people would get sick of it. And it seems that the viewers' appetite for that was bigger than we thought. So we kind of wish we would have slowed down the character reintroduction – or excuse me, not reintroduction, introduction and maybe just took a little more time with just one person alone in the world and then two people alone in the world.
It seems like it would be so much harder to act by yourself than it is with other people to...
It is and it isn't. I mean, you get more time because you don't have to turn the camera around in as many different angles, so you can have more cracks at scenes and you can improvise a little bit more. I mean, certainly it took a lot of figuring out how to do stuff that wasn't super boring because when I wrote the pilot, the very first draft had a lot of me reading books and stuff like that. I was like, I can't. We gotta think. And then we started, figuring out the aquarium. Backing up the bowling balls into the aquariums and stuff like that. Once we got all that stuff down.
I really think a lot of the stuff that your character does in the show is stuff that people would really do in real life in that situation. Like, I do think somebody would go to the White House and live there because you could.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. All this stuff came from what would we realistically do. And we try not to fall into the trap of doing things that are too elaborate because the more realistic it is, like using a flamethrower, we can get kind of cute with what we're – flamethrowing, like popcorn and stuff like that. That's not what I would choose to flamethrow. But just using a flamethrower, I think most people would think, oh, that'd be something really fun to do.
Kevin, you would kill yourself in the first week, wouldn't you, because of all the nonsense you would try if you could just do anything you wanted to.
I want a flamethrower.
How many more people are we going to see introduced into the universe, do you think?
I'm not going to reveal.
Do you know what the writers are thinking?
I do. I do know that last season we spent a lot of time introducing characters, and that was kind of that would be our source of like twist and turn. And this year we did it a little differently. I mean, we had Will Ferrell come in that one episode, but other than that,
and that went well for him.
There has not, yeah. It was that was a very brief cameo, but other than that, we haven't really introduced. Unless I'm being crazy,
so you don't think there's. So it's not going to be.
Well,
like,
I can't say there will and will not be more characters introduced, but I will say that it's like last year you could count on that every couple episodes, and this year we've shied away from it. So
but how happy are you if there are like a half a dozen people in the world and one of them is January Jones? I mean, you just have to go praise Jesus.
Oh yes. No, she's a wonderful person to be one of seven with.
Right.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah.
You have a follow up on that, Bean?
No, I'm just saying, right? Like who's
I
with
can
me?
Get you in touch with her.
No, you can't.
I'm too nervous. All right. What else are you is this show all-encompassing of Will Forte's time, or do you have time to write more of those movie ideas that you have?
This is takes every second of every day. I went and got an apartment up in Chatsworth because I would – because I am do the writing with the writing staff too and also am in on the editing. So we're full days of acting, which is a pretty tough amount of time to start, you know, you're in at 6 and done at 7 or 8, and then I got to go in and write until I have to go to bed, and then on the weekends, that's the only time to really get to edit. So it's you know, seven.
That is
seven
not
days
a glamorous
week.
Show business life, Will.
It's your not. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. It's like really has been a rewarding time because I love the show and I'm proud of it.
Tell your face.
But what's that?
Tell your face because you look pained saying this.
No. But it is. You know, it made me examine my life and think like, what is life really about? Like you know, is it worth it to have this your dream situation? Getting to call the shots on your own show mm-hmm. and like you know, doing exactly what you want to do for the most part. Mm-hmm. If you know, is it worth that if you don't see your family at all or if you don't see your friends? Thank God I work with some of my friends, so that's – but like
– You said you got another apartment. Does that tie in? Or do you have to go there to
write?
Yeah,
where does Chatsworth
come
in?
Well,
I understand that.
Chatsworth is – I'm sorry. That didn't make sense out of context. Chatsworth is where we shoot the show.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that makes sense, all the rocky areas. And
Yeah. Okay. So last year it doubled as Tucson, and this year the house, the Malibu house, is actually in Chatsworth. It's like this house that Frank Sinatra either used to own or go to, and the word is that Marilyn Monroe and JFK used to do it.
All right.
Bone there.
All right. Yeah, so we're always sniffing around. Not literally. That was the wrong word to use. I don't think any of the odors remain.
There can't be anything left.
It was
no, not
really the right
word. You never know.
Just be honest.
But like, so, and we put a green screen up to make it seem like there are oceans out there. And we, obviously, when there are beach scenes, we go out there. But anyway, I live in Santa Monica.
Okay.
My exact address is...
okay, but... But that is really interesting. Like you said, I mean, in show business, having the opportunity to star in and run a show that you created has got to feel like the ultimate. And you're right. You do get to the point where you go, wow, it's so much work. I bet it would be such a relief right now if you could just go off and just act in somebody else's movie and not deal with all the other nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. I'm not complaining. I'm doing what I love. This is a dream. So I'm not in any way trying to sound ungrateful. I'm just trying to figure out a way
to stay alive.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'm kind of OCD and a control freak. And so the good side of it is that I love the show very much and it's turning out exactly how I want it to. But the bad side is that means that I have, like, if I didn't like the show, I would probably have
miserable.
An easier time just going, oh, that's, It'd be miserable, but I'd also like be out, you know, able to leave work early and not care. Just kind of settle on stuff before I felt like it was fully
well, you guys are doing great work, Will. The show
Thank
is very
you.
Very funny. We're very
Thank
excited
you.
To have it come back. Hey, real quick before you go, because I know you were you're in Keanu at least for some, right?
Yeah,
we've been looking forward to this movie for a long time. This is the. Well, tell folks about Keanu because they may not recognize the title. It's not Keanu Reeves.
No, it's not. This is the Key and Peele movie, and I don't. I'm so used to keeping secrets for our show that I don't know what I'm allowed to say and not.
Well,
say.
Just from the trailer, Jordan Peele.
You tell me, and I'll say yes.
Jordan Peele breaks up with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
he's miserable. He's the worst time of his life.
Yes,
and then he opens the door. And there's this little kitty cat.
The cutest little kitty cat.
Little kitty cat named Keanu. And his life changes. Everything's great and wonderful. And then, dun, 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 Keanu is kidnapped.
Yes.
And that's what the whole movie is.
And then the rest of it is like the journey to get
this
kitty cat back.
This cat back. And there's gang members. There's shootings. Things go down.
And I'll just tell you, I have the dumbest looking hairdo. It's so rad. It's these cornrows in my hair and my beard, which was the most painful process of all time. I had to do it twice. And I was like, I see little kids walking around with cornrows, and never had any idea the pain they had to go through. And I'm like, those are the most badass
kids. It's like a facelift, the way they peel your head back so far.
No, honestly, they had to like give some kind of pain pill to go to sleep. This woman on the production was like, had to do the same thing. And she had it much worse than me for some reason. It just really, for several days until it loosens up a little bit.
Wow.
So you suffer for your art in this movie, it sounds like.
It really was... You gotta try it sometime.
No!
No, I want you to know what I'm talking
the
about.
The last 5 minutes you were describing hell, you gotta try it.
You just gotta get waterboarded once and do cornrows once.
Well, we're gonna look forward to Keanu later this year.
Oh, of course, it's those guys are so funny.
Last Man on Earth returns to Fox this Sunday night. Don't miss it. We're very excited to have it back. And it's always great to catch up with you, Will. Thank you so much for having me. We need to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. Will, you might be interested in this, and if you're in town, please come as our guest. It's Kevin and Bean's annual April Foolishness Concert. This is a big comedy show that we put together every year. The proceeds go to charity. Our lineup this year includes Jay Moore, also Eddie Ift, Gabriela Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Bob Saget, Eliza Schlesinger, and the comedy stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. All of that is going to be happening on one night, April 2nd, at the Shrine Auditorium. If you're a fan of the comedy, we got a game you can play to win your tickets. You can call us now, 1-800-520-1067. That's next on K-Rock.
Hey!
Really? Hey, speaking of hay, is Will Forte drinking out of a can on Canhead's head in the other room?
Here's the thing.
Not a can as much as a giant bottle.
Flicker.
Canhead, the guy who can stick things to his head, is going to be joining us in studio at 9 o'clock. So he's here a little early, and Will Forte is as fascinated with him as we are, and he's in the other room being served by Canhead.
Oh. Yeah.
I feel like Kevin's a little jealous. Canhead and Will Forte's relationship.
That was a great moment right there.
It was. Yeah.
Well, we're very excited about Canhead joining us in a few minutes. Right now, though, let's give away those tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. By now, you know the details. Shrine Auditorium, April 2nd, a great lineup for charity. Lots of our favorite comedians are on the bill. So we thought we'd get you on the line here. We got contestants ready to go who are comedy fans, which means they probably are going to do well with this game because we're going to be playing some comedy clips from the legends. They've all passed on. That's why this game is called Comedy Heaven.
When takes to the comedy show, we'll play clips from comedians you know. It's easy as 1, 2, 3, but all these people are dead, you see. Come on, identify these funny peeps. Just keep in mind they're all deceased. Just name that comedian. It's time for Comedy Heaven.
Dead!
Dead indeed. So, unfortunately, none of these acts were available to join us for April Fool's this year because they've all passed on. All you have to do is identify them after we play a clip from their comedy. Who's our first contestant, please?
Daniel in Santa Clarita. Hi there.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Going great, Daniel. Again, listen up. We're going to play a clip from a famous comedian who is no longer with us. You just name him, and you're in the drawing to win tickets for Foolishness. Good luck.
White people, this is the fun part for me when the white people come back after intermission and find out and stole their seats.
We were sitting here, weren't we?
Yes, we were sitting right there.
Well, you ain't sitting here now, mother.
One of the greats. Who is that, Daniel?
I'm going to guess Richard Pryor.
Correct, sir. Well done. Hold on.
Bingo.
Nicely done. Did you say bingo?
He did. Bingo.
Jason in Chino Hills.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yep.
Here's your comedian.
Now, that was the original list. We've added a few words since then. We've added fart, turd, and some of your favorites might make the list this year. Asshole, ball bag, blue balls, nookies, and dingleberry.
Jason, who is that, please?
One of the greats, George Carlin.
That's correct.
Bingo.
Bingo. We don't have to say that, B. Yeah, that was just Daniel.
I'm sorry. I thought that was a thing now.
Israel in Sherman Oaks.
I would have done that to you.
All right. Listen up. Here's your favorite, your famous.
What's happening
here's
to
a
you?
Comedian who's no longer with us. Who is he?
While you were sitting here on your ass, I'm in a grave outside of town. I'm fighting death. I'm about to come into spiritual form and go into the kingdom of God. I go, wait a second. I better go back because she doesn't know where I've been. So now I got to fight the angel of death. Get my soul back.
Who is that, Israel?
I'm going to guess Mitch Hedberg. I'm not sure.
That's a great guess. I'm sorry. No,
that's
this time,
the opposite of Mitch Hedberg.
But, I mean, it's a great guess in that it's the right era of a comedian who's no longer with us. That was Sam Kinison we were looking for that time. By the way, was a great guest on the Kevin and Bean Show a number of times, as was George Carlin before him. I miss both of those guys.
All right. Let's go to Manuel in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Thank you. You ready?
Yes.
There you go.
And everybody's doing cocaine. Baseball players have to go in front of a grand jury and say, yeah, I did cocaine. Can you blame me? It's a slow goddamn game. Come on, Jack. I'm standing out in left field for 7 innings. There's a white line going all the way down the home plate.
Who is that?
That is Robin Williams.
Yes, sir. Bingo.
Right, well done. All right, we're playing Comedy Heaven, giving away tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness right now. Who's our next contestant?
Let's go to George in Anaheim. Hi, George.
So the kid says, go F yourself, Grandpa. It's my cookie.
Well, we're not doing punchlines today, George. Nice try, though.
Well played.
Well played. All right, listen up. Here's your deceased comedian. Who is he?
So the first boy, he point this cannon to this castle, you know, to shoot. Because he was the boss. And he turned to the second boy and he say, hand me the cannonball. And you know, but the second boy, he say, I thought you had them. So wait, so listen.
One of the strangest men who ever lived. Who is that, please?
I've gotten all of them right, but I have no idea who this is.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no guess?
Mitch Hedberg. No.
That was the great Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman is who we're looking for. All right, nice try, though. Thanks for playing. Let's do one more.
All right, let's go to Cristiano in Burbank.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for your comedian?
I hope so.
Here you go.
Three new kids, my sister kids. You know, I ain't saying we family. You know, my sister on drugs. Yeah, I ain't ashamed to tell you. I got her kids. You know, some of your family members up. You're going to be looking at me all up. Your family up, too.
All right, language. Who was that great comedian?
Is that Bernie Mac?
It sure was. Correct. Bernie Mac. All right, well done. Cristiano, Manuel, Jason, Daniel, all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016, which, by the way, tickets go on sale today at noon. Get your details at KRF.com. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Manuel.
Manuel!
Hey,
congratulations, Manuel.
Thank you. My wife is actually pretty pissed off with me right now.
Why? Because you won?
She's pregnant. She just passed out at the hospital, and I'm out here in the hallways. Trying to
oh, my God! All right. You should probably go back in there.
Yeah, I'm going to head back in right now, but thank you for the ticket.
You're welcome.
This was Comedy Heaven.
Dead! But I'm saying we're gonna stream it at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page.
Well, then the 8 people watching the stream will really enjoy it. Everyone else who's listening on the radio in their cars and on their way to work and school will
love it.
I will not accept disparaging remarks about our next guest, Canhead.
Listen,
I think Ralph doesn't understand the choice.
He sticks stuff to his head.
Perhaps I understand all too well, Allie. That may be the problem. Huh. And I understand perhaps more than other people
he
who
can
work
take a can of beer
radio.
And it sticks to his head.
I'm well aware of his superpowers, and I think good on him.
Turn and look at him.
I don't have to. I've been
Canhead's staring right now.
Look, he's so happy. He's just
happy.
Bringing us joy.
Those cans on his head.
If this was your birthday party, Kevin, I would say this would be an excellent booking.
Oh, he just stuck something to his forehead. Look.
Look, he's got it all. Don't get me wrong. He's got it going on. I'm just saying we work in a medium known as radio, which is primarily an audio experience.
Right, but people can picture in their mind somebody that has a can stuck to his head.
Yes, they can. And then
they
can
watch it on our Facebook page.
What do they do with the rest of that minute? Is what I'm suggesting.
I think you underestimate what skilled interviewers we are.
Oh, you couldn't even say that with
a
straight face.
All of a sudden, I'm siding with Ralph.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you guys. Not only are we going to talk to Canhead just after 9, and we will be streaming it through the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to see the action as well, but listen to this. We're going to replay a conversation that we had earlier this morning, early on, when we got a surprise phone call out of the blue. None of us saw it coming from the real Robbie Joyner.
Yeah.
If that name sounds familiar to you, it's because Kevin has mentioned his former neighbor, Robbie Joyner, that he lived near when he was growing up in Arizona, that he used to terrorize this kid.
Yes. We terrorized each other, I like to think of it.
It sounded one way, pretty much, this morning.
It did sound a little bit one-sided. Yeah. This is the guy that you have heard Kevin mention so often when we say, hey, Kevin, how did you not see the right stuff? And he'll say, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Right.
Yeah. Robbie Joyner himself called in this morning, and we're going to play that interview for you. If you weren't up bright and early this morning, you'll hear that also between 9 and 9:30. So that's an action-packed half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, you guys.
Why don't, instead of playing the conversation back, why don't we just hold up pictures of Robbie Joyner? So that seems to be the direction the show's going. Let's just draw a picture of Robbie Joyner, and everyone can just listen and as the Sharpie works its way across the sketch
pad. I don't think I like your attitude.
Well, first time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on?
Well, you know how deeply in love I am with Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model Ashley Graham.
Yes, I
adore her. And she is now a dress designer. She has created a collection for a clothing line, which I think is cool. It'll be available in all sizes, not just what they call the plus-sized model. But my only problem is with whom she is doing business.
Uh-oh.
I just think if you're Ashley Graham, and there's already a lot of controversy about your size versus other models, especially swimsuit models, mm-hmm. maybe you don't want to get in business with a company called Dress Barn.
Oh, Ralph.
Doesn't Dress Barn, doesn't it bring to mind, look, just the name Dress Barn, doesn't it bring to mind perhaps not necessarily the most glamorous, sleek clothing line?
You say barn, you think cows.
Right,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You think livestock. You think large animals. Let's go down to the dress barn. Doesn't make it sound like, ooh, that's going to be a sexy experience. Hey, where'd you get your prom dress? Oh, down the dress barn. You don't want to go to the dress barn.
Maybe that was a poor decision.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe she should work for a company called the Dress Sexy Place.
All right, maybe that's not it. But.
Maybe that's not it. But I'm just saying Dress Barn conjures up images that I don't think is a good match.
I think we're with you on this one.
All right. Well, I'm going to call Ashley and see what she's got going on.
See, like, by the way, you love Ashley. She apparently doesn't love us because Dave has been trying to get her on the program. And so far, no good.
We should announce that we have her on. Let's see what happens.
Just make her commit.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff.
Guilty.
He's not been charged with anything.
Oh.
We love the Hoff. And there's good news. It looks like the Hoff will be joining the cast of the upcoming Baywatch big budget reboot movie. Dwayne The Rock Johnson revealed the news on his Instagram feed, posting a clip of a video call with the Hoff saying, not only was he ready to be in the film, he was born ready. I don't know how you're born ready to be in a film that's being made when you're well
either.
Into your 50s. But he will be making a guest appearance. So for those Baywatch purists, don't worry. The original Mitch Buchanan will be making
there?
An appearance. Talk about things we don't need. Do we need the Baywatch movie?
No, Ralph, we don't.
Thank you, Kevin, for your participation. Selena Gomez may be working on a track with Wiz Khalifa. He posted a Snapchat video yesterday, the two of them in the studio, listening to something and enjoying it very much. So I'm assuming it was their own music.
Hmm.
She begins her revival tour on May 6th in Las Vegas, Selena Gomez. I can't imagine myself going to a Selena Gomez show. She seems like a lovely young lady. I think she's fairly talented, but I don't think I could do it.
I enjoy her when she shows up on my TV and sings a song, but I don't think I need 20 of them.
Wouldn't it be cool if she just showed up on Bean's TV and sang songs? That'd be the best channel ever. Hi, Bean. It's me, Selena. I got a little tune for you. Oh, I love this. I don't have to talk to the robot anymore. When's your wife coming home, Bean? When's that going to happen?
I don't know.
Don't mock him, Ralph.
I'm not mocking.
But she's not.
I'm just curious. It's fascinating to me that you could be married to someone and they go off on vacation and you just have a general idea of when they might be returning.
And they've gone for 2 weeks.
I think it's going to be the end of next week or the beginning of the week after.
Right.
Is what I'm being told. In that rough area.
Who are you being told that?
People that follow her on Instagram.
One of her friends.
Her people. That's not the way my house works, though. I'm just saying we've got one of those whiteboards with different colored inks and pens, and everything is just
it's mapped
scheduled
out.
And choreographed down to the minute.
But wait, you and your wife actually talk.
We do interact.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, so
on a regular basis.
So that's different.
So that is different.
I'm hoping to get a hold of one of her friends this weekend who might be able to tell me more.
Maybe she'll send you a telegram.
Davies.
That's how they like to communicate there in the Baxter residence.
Ding dong.
Hello, Mr. Baxter. Got a telegram for you.
When she finds out we've got Canhead on the show, though, she's going to come running back to my arms.
That'll do it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond in the Middle. She is 58 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 56. Steven Weber, one of my favorite actors, 55 years old today. And Kevin's boyfriend, Landon Donovan, former soccer player. He's no longer a professional soccer player?
That's correct.
What's he doing these days? Something less taxing?
I think he's doing some coaching.
Is he coaching now?
I think so, yeah.
That's great. He is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
The guy has cans stuck to his head.
Mm-hmm. Right. We all see that. What's your thing?
That's my thing.
That's your whole thing. All right.
The guy has cans that literally stick to his head.
Yeah.
Now, there's no glue. There's no adhesive.
Nothing. No, it is not a magic trick. It is a medical oddity. A few weeks ago, we brought you the story of a man named Jamie Keaton who lives, if I recall correctly, Canhead in the Chicago area, right?
Correct.
And we saw you on the news, and we fell in love with you, and we reached out to you, and you were kind enough to come on and do a phone call with us back then. And now you are in town for reasons we cannot disclose, but please welcome Canhead to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. So for folks who didn't hear our chat with you earlier, this is not an illusion. This is real. You can put anything on your head, and it will stick by itself.
Oh, it's not
itself.
Just my head. It's my whole body.
Your whole body?
Yeah. Go on.
How, why? How and why?
How and why?
How? Let's start with how.
The doctors found out that my skin pores literally suck in oxygen.
Okay.
And because of the sucking in oxygen, it also generates body heat. My body temperature stays around 100 degrees. So in a sense, it's cupping. My skin actually does a natural cupping of sucking things to me.
And do they have any – by the way, you can watch Canhead. You can actually see this interview, and he's got cans stuck to his head right now. If you just want to go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, we are streaming it live right now. Do the doctors have any idea why your skin reacts that way, Canhead?
No. It's just they literally consider me almost like a true life mutant.
Oh, well, that's
less fun.
How many people are there like you in the world that are known?
There's only three others that they know of.
Do you hang out?
Oh, no. Just two are in India and one in South America.
Oh.
I'm the only one in the United States.
Wow.
And USA! 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 USA!
How old were you when it became clear to you that this was something you could do?
Well, originally, at 7 years old, my toys started to stick to me. But I didn't really pay attention to it because my parents thought it was just a pine sap of me climbing trees. So when I got older, guys touch things and get stuck. And that's when I realized this is a little crazy.
Wait. Guys touch things and they get stuck.
Sounds like Allie needs more details.
I think, were you, and yeah. Then you...
My mom had to help me get it off.
Oh, that was an uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, all right.
I think we lost her.
Okay, so...
She went to the ground.
Oh, Allie.
So you were handling your business.
Trying to.
And you had to call your mom and say, Mom, I'm stuck. I need help.
It was sort of like that, but not... it was more like...
That's so much
I can't even really go that far.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Okay, all right.
Oh, okay.
But it's your whole body. That's what you're saying.
Correct. It's my whole body.
It's there. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, when we spoke with you on the phone, Canhead.
Wait. Did your mom laugh?
No, she was trying to. She didn't understand either.
Well, of course not. But
and I was nervous because it was pulling too hard.
All right, back to you, Bean.
When we spoke with you on the phone, you talked about how you have turned this into an occupation. You make a living, you advertise, you show up at events, and people pay you, and you're
I get paid to wear people's products. And
yeah, and stick their products on your head and the whole deal. And I think that's fascinating. I want to hear more about that. But for a while, it was just something that you knew you could do, but you still had a regular job and were going about your life regularly, and it was just kind of an oddity on the side. At what point did you realize, hey, I'm blessed. I can turn this into a way to make a living.
I was actually at a Red Bull Flutog. I don't know if y'all know what that is.
Dude, it's so fun.
Yeah, it's a great time. And they had it in Chicago. And my friend said, hey, why don't you just do your thing? And I go, oh, I don't know. So I did it anyways. They talked me into it, peer pressure, you know.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the executives and people came up running up to me because they noticed everybody was taking pictures with me. And he says, hey, would you mind taking pictures with the celebrities and the judges and all these people and all the winners of the contest? I went, well, I don't know. He says, we'll pay you $3,000. I went, yeah, okay.
Well, and then I'm like, wait a second. First offer was $3,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so fantastic.
I went, whoa, wait a second. I can get paid to do this? And I'm already in the marketing type business. I do signs, graphics, and stuff. So I designed a logo for myself and created it from there and went on.
And one of the popular things that you do at clubs is you take full bottles of liquor, stick it to your head, and then tilt your head and pour it into people's mouths?
Yeah.
Can you?
USA! I mean, USA! USA! USA!
Can we get Beer Mug in here?
Sure.
I think, can you pour liquor in Beer Mug's face?
Yeah.
Okay, Beer Mug.
Let's do it. That's a great idea.
Not his mouth, just his face.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
He needs to get on his knees then.
By the way, again, we are streaming this. We are streaming this live. We have almost 1,000 people on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now. They're watching this interview. You can go to Facebook and see it there on our page. Canheadstuff.com is the website. He's on Twitter at canhead69. What am I looking at? What am I seeing right now?
You're seeing a
bottle of what?
Margarita.
Margarita.
All right.
And how much does it hold?
Look at that. He's pouring it into Beer Mug's mouth like a champion. That's incredible. He has such control.
Maybe enough. Okay.
He is doing better just tilting his head than I would be doing it pouring it with my hand.
USA! USA!
Head.
USA! USA!
I can't believe what the... I mean, like, how heavy...
Oh my gosh.
Beer Mug is trying to pull the thing off his head. What's the heaviest thing you've ever put on your head, Canhead?
She said she weighed 118 pounds.
No. I can't. Products. What sort of things?
I can do a full mini keg.
What?
No. And what is
USA!
That?
USA!
All right.
USA!
Enough with the chanting. Let's let the man talk.
What
does that weigh, Canhead?
About 45 pounds.
Oh, my God. You can stick a 45-pound item on your head.
Well, this probably weighs, what, about 15?
How much is that, Can? Full. Do we call you Can?
Canhead.
How much is that?
How much is what?
How much liquid is it?
I don't know.
Okay, great.
It's a full bottle.
It's a full bottle.
I mean,
right.
I usually do a lot of full bottles of Absolute and just pour shots until it's empty.
Oh, my God.
Where have you been around the world doing this, exhibiting your Canhead Super
Strength? Well, just recently I was in Beijing, China to do the Guinness World Records, and I won the Guinness World Record for the most cans stuck to a human head.
Well, there's only two other people.
Well, that's why they look at me and go,
competition.
They go, how many can you do seven? I went, yeah, I think I can do seven. I did eight, but I know I can actually do almost 14.
Oh, my goodness.
But you didn't want to show off.
No, right. The thing is, you want to keep
Nobody
going
else
back.
Is close.
You want to keep going back and getting
better. Hey, I can do 10 now.
Yeah.
That's right. That you get to go back. Yeah, that makes sense.
You've been to the Guinness Brewery in Dublin. You've been all over TV. You've been on The Tonight Show. You've been on The Ellen Show. And you make a great living doing this, Canhead.
Yes, I do.
Why is your Twitter account at Canhead69? Was Can at Canhead taken?
No. Just
just being funny.
No. I can get stuck in certain places.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, I see. Oh. All right. That's a warning to anyone who wants to date Canhead, as there may be problems dismantling. Oh. Dismounting, I'm sorry, is the word.
Not dismantling.
For.
I don't
Not dismantling. Nobody. Well, this is
the
amazing.
The ultimate suction.
So how?
Yeah, we get that, Canhead.
I read a story about you at a NASCAR event, and it sounded like you sent a Guinness Book of World Records that day for how many times you had your photograph taken.
I average between 60 to 80,000 pictures a day.
How is that possible?
60 to 80.
We had four people with those little counters, and they were just following me around. All the pictures were being taken, even from afar or real close. Individually, pictures with people were about, I think he said it was almost 20,000 I took that day.
Wow.
That's everybody else was around it.
If you touch somebody that's taking a picture with you, does your hand stick to them?
To a point.
Touch Mug's head, face.
Well, let me touch her hand.
I don't know that she wants that.
Well, I guess.
You'll feel the suction. He's touching Allie's hand.
Doesn't work with me, Canhead. Can't suction me.
How about that?
Come on,
okay, that, I heard that. It pop, I felt that. For God's okay, sake.
It's a pop.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. Let me see your phone.
Don't play hard to get.
Let me see my what?
Your phone.
Oh, sorry. You were pointing.
Oh, what kind of phone is this?
Just throw it around wherever.
Let me make sure my head's dry.
Okay. Right. Sticking her phone to his head.
And there it is.
I don't know that I needed that.
I remember when we talked to Canhead, he said that that's his hands-free when he's driving down the road and he needs to do an interview or something like that. He just sticks the phone to the side of his head and talks that way.
And you probably never lose your keys.
No.
You're a great American.
USA!
You are a great American.
USA!
Well, this
USA!
Was a lot of fun.
USA!
It was fun to meet you, Canhead.
Oh, you
and
too.
If people want to contact you for business opportunities, just go to canheadstuff.com. That's where we go.
No, go to my Facebook or my email, like canhead69@yahoo.com.
All right.
Okay.
Because that website's being worked on right now. So
okay. Well, I mean, look, you're a guy who you never could have predicted that this was going to be your life, but it seems like you're enjoying it. It's just one of those weird things that happen, and it has worked out for you. So I'm happy for you, my friend. I hope it continues to go well for you.
Thank you.
Canhead, everybody. Come on.
USA! USA! USA!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:27.
Canhead is just doing so much more with his life than I'm doing with mine, isn't he?
He's flying to Chicago. He's got a party at midnight. He's going to Germany. He's being interviewed.
He's nonstop.
It's crazy.
Nonstop. Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. We had a surprise phone call early this morning. We were doing our What's Good feature where we invite listeners to call in on any topic. And we got a call from somebody from Kevin's past. Now, it's a name you might have heard before because Kevin has so frequently talked about and mentioned sometimes in passing. No, that's when I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner. Well, Robbie Joyner is a real person. And Kevin had not talked to him since when?
I don't know, since high school.
High wow. school.
Yeah.
So how stunned were you when you looked at the phones this morning and realized he was calling to talk on the air?
I've had people like text me or email me or tweet or something and it's not them. They try to say.
Like impersonators?
I don't know why, but that's happened a couple of times. So I had a few questions for Robbie to make sure that he was the guy who I used to throw rocks at.
Well, it turned out to be the real guy. So if you've heard the name Robbie Joyner and wanted to know the story behind it, we're happy to present that for you now.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067.
What's good?
What's good indeed. This is going to be a red letter day on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think we are always going to remember where we were when we took the caller on line three. Do you think it's possible, Kevin? Could this be the real Robbie Joyner, the man that you have mentioned hundreds of times over the years on the air as the neighbor you threw rocks at?
Could it be him? Of course.
All right. Let's go to the line. Hey, Robbie. What's good?
Hello, guys. Good morning, Kevin.
How are you? How long has it been since I talked to you? Hold on. I have a few qualifying questions. How long since I've talked to you?
It seems the last time I can remember you pulling into your driveway in your old Oldsmobile Cutlass.
That was my dad's. And, yes, good. That's good. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Hey, what street did we live on?
Heatherbury.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a policeman.
What kind of animals did you have?
How many questions do you have for poor Robbie?
We had them all, Kevin. We had, you know, horses.
He had horses!
Kevin, wait, I think...
This is Robbie.
I think we're missing something. You were throwing rocks at a cop's house?
Yes. No!
What?
Not at a cop's house, at Robbie. We used to have rock fights.
Yeah, I think I can remember that was one of the worst punishments I ever got with my dad was he caught me throwing rocks at...
Right? Because you're a dick.
Oh, Kevin.
No, I'm saying his dad did the right thing because you can't throw rocks.
You were throwing rocks at Robbie, Kevin.
Robbie, what made you think? Look, Robbie, first of all, this is Bean. It's very nice to meet you. I feel like I know you because I've heard you talked about for so many years. But what made you today wake up and go, hey, I'm going to give Kevin a call, a guy I haven't talked to in forever. Why are you on the line?
Well, I'm actually over here.
Oh.
I still live in Arizona.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I was at a reunion and
someone told me that they heard my name mentioned. They heard you guys talking. So, anyways, anytime I get over here, I always like to listen to you guys and listen to Kevin.
So. That's weird.
Aww.
That is so weird. I never knew that you got in trouble from your dad for throwing rocks.
Oh, we got in lots of trouble.
I got to ask, what are the ages that you and Kevin hung out together? How old were you guys?
Six.
Oh, okay, so you're seven, little tiny kids. Did you ever imagine that Kevin would grow up and be a successful, famous radio personality?
Oh, I thought something. It was so funny because I can remember way back in the 70s how much he loved music and stuff. And I can remember him and my brother always talking about like Three Dog Night and all this.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I threw rocks, because you kept interrupting me and your brother. Right?
Oh, yeah. We had lots of fond memories.
Do you remember the time I chased you for a half a mile to the Little League baseball field to fight you, and then neither of us could fight because we were too tired?
Yeah, I have a lot of fond memories.
Yep.
That's awesome. Uh-huh. Well, Robbie, this was a real thrill to have you on the air. As I said, your name has been mentioned hundreds of times throughout the years, because every time we talk to Kevin about something that happened, we're like, Kevin, how did you not know that, or how did you not watch that, or how did you not read that? And his answer is always, because I was busy throwing rocks at my neighbor Robbie Joyner. Like, he makes it sound like that's all he did for 15 solid years.
That's not all I did.
Well,
I mean, we fought.
So it's good to finally hear your side of the story, man. I'm glad you called, and we appreciate you listening when you're in town, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Robbie.
That was shocking.
How about that?
How great is that?
That's pretty weird, but, you know.
Aren't you amazed that he doesn't hate you? Like, he didn't call up because he thought, right? Oh, this guy's a dick. I mean, he sounds like he had fond memories of those years.
We had a good time, but, yeah, I am amazed he doesn't hate me. I'm amazed anybody that knows me doesn't hate me. What's good? Standing in the park. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It
don't vote 941.
Not yet. Oh, hey, quick reminder, you guys, ahead of the final Showbiz Beat of the Week, is that at noon today, tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. Great lineup again this year, Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. The comedy stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. on the show this year, the great Jay Moore, Eliza Schlesinger, Greg Fitzsimmons, Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, Eddie Iff, Bob Saget. Tremendous lineup. Tickets are on sale at noon today. Proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. This will sell out. I cannot stress enough that every year this show sells out and sells out fast. So have plans to join us wherever you buy tickets at noon today. Get the details at KRock.com. All right, Ralph, what you got for us?
Well, ABC has made some people happy. They have announced a bunch of shows that they have renewed, will bring you back for more seasons, including the first year show, Quantico. That's coming back. Anybody watching Quantico?
I watch it.
You do watch it? I do, yeah.
That's good.
You're hanging your head like a beaten dog.
No, I was expecting to be beaten, yes.
I don't know anything about it. So if you're watching it, enjoying it, good on you.
I am, and it's good, yes.
Got that, this is Miss Universe plays an FBI agent, right?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that the show?
Okay.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you're disparaging it by saying that, though, Bean.
No, I'm trying to clarify what show we're talking about here. Quantico, that's the one, right?
Chopra, right?
That's her, yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. It's good. Back to you.
You know, Bean doesn't like attractive law enforcement. He doesn't buy it.
That's true.
He doesn't think it's possible. He doesn't think you can
what
be
I said was, I don't buy Jennifer Lopez as an NYPD cop. That's what I said.
By the way, are you watching Shades of
no,
Blue?
No, that's
I'm
a
not
great
watching.
Show.
It's a great show.
It's really good.
And she's
very difficult to
crushing
believe.
It. Jennifer I Lopez is crushing it.
Right, but you haven't seen it, so how do you...
Don't think it's likely it's good.
It is, but it is good.
But Ralph, there's people seen in the room right now saying it's good.
It's really good.
And I know you don't trust me, but you trust Ralph.
Doesn't
it's
seem possible that the show is well done.
But you're wrong.
Okay.
The fact that an attractive woman to you
can't happen.
Yes, it's insane to me.
Blacklist? No. Shades of Blue? No.
That's not true.
Hot.
Allie, it's no. That's not what I'm saying at all. There are lots of attractive law enforcement personnel. What I said was I don't buy Jennifer Lopez having the acting chops to play a New York City street cop. That's what I said.
And Megan Boone is the worst detective ever.
My problem with Megan Boone has nothing to do with her looks, her attractiveness. It's that her character is an incompetent agent. and would have been fired every single week of that show.
In a first year of a career, what's wrong with you?
You still can't make as many mistakes, as many dumb rookie mistakes as she makes week after week after week and not lose your job. You lose believability in a show when the person clearly couldn't be in office.
Wrong.
Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about shows on ABC that have been renewed. There are a lot of them. That's
easy,
great.
Chap ass. It's all right. Just doing showbiz beat. Quantico's coming back. All of Shonda Rhimes' dramas are coming back. The Shondaland lineup.
My favorite.
Shondaline.
Thursday night.
Shondaland.
Grey's Anatomy scandal.
How to get away with murder.
I'm sorry. Best. What was that last show?
That's how you have to say it.
How to get away with murder.
Allie will watch any show that has murder in the title.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
It's true.
Shonda's got a new series coming out called How to Get Away with a Hike. Allie's really excited about
it. Can't.
Hiking and murder.
Hiking's the same.
Her two favorite subjects. Once Upon a Time. It's got all the princesses and the goblins and witches and whatnot in that show.
And our friend Marion Dungey's on that show.
She is. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And all the comedies are coming back fresh off the boat. The Goldbergs, Modern Family, Blackish, The Middle. In reality show world, Dancing with the Stars, Bachelor. Woo-woo! As if there was any doubt.
Yeah, like that was ever in doubt.
Shark Tank and America's Funniest Home Videos. Yes, that's still on the air. We don't know about Dr. Ken, though. We don't know about Nashville. We don't know about Agent Carter. There's a lot of...
American Crime.
A lot of question marks still in ABC land. But they're dependable. So I think
they're very reliable.
Reliable
yeah.
and dependable.
I hear that's true.
All good things.
By the way, what do we make of America, Ralph, if American Crime did not get the viewership it needs to be renewed?
Oh.
People are bad.
We live in a Trump world now. It doesn't surprise me at all. Come on.
Because
you want
this
thoughtful,
is...
involving intellectual drama?
Yeah.
What are you, high?
The most well-acted show, so relatable on every level, things that are happening to people all over the world.
There's no room for that. Where's America's Next Top Cooking Model 7 or whatever? When's that coming back to please America's palate?
I have to be honest when I tell you that I can't believe Canhead doesn't have a show.
I'm sure he'll get one. I'm sure
in the world in which we live, how is that dude not on primetime?
Sure, the whole Can family will get a show. Meet the Cans on CBS this fall. They're all like a little Joey Can's got a little UNICEF can on his head. He goes trick-or-treating for UNICEF. People putting pennies in his charity jar. And Canhead's got... Canhead's got stuff and... The wife's got...
Oh, yeah. She's got cans. I know that.
Oh.
Wow.
Man. Everybody was having fun until Bean spoke.
Now even fictional characters are being subjected to his creepiness.
Well, she's Mrs. Cans. How can she not? Come on.
That's the name of my new book, by the way. Everybody was having fun until Bean spoke. Hey, Canhead. We
Hi,
see
Canhead.
You. Okay, he's not leaving now. What do we do, Ralph?
Oh, no. He's in for the long haul.
We said goodbye to Ken like a half hour ago.
Nope, he's not going. And you guys conjured him up, so you figure a way to get rid of him. This is Candyman, Candyman, Candyman in the mirror, and now it's on you. All I know is I was not responsible.
Why is Canhead still here?
Because you said his name three times in the mirror.
I told you.
And he appeared.
It's happening.
He's not leaving until somebody's dead.
Oh, no.
Someone will be murdered
with
a can.
He's your best friend, Kevin. Why are you asking us? He's your hero.
If you missed the latest Star Wars film, how is that even possible? Everyone has seen it by now, right?
But I would think everybody that wanted to see it has, yeah.
Disney has announced yesterday they'll make it available to the beans of the world. It'll be available as a digital home entertainment download on Friday, April the 1st. So if you're looking to watch it at home, that's your day. Circle on the calendar. And then a Blu-ray release will happen on Tuesday, April the 5th. So April looks like is when you get to watch Star Wars at home. Doesn't it feel like it just came out in theaters like 4 days ago?
This is very quick.
Yeah,
this
I did.
A quick turnaround.
It literally was the middle of December, right? So we're only talking 4 months lag time. The fascinating thing that everybody is so excited about is the documentary that's included is supposed to be like a 90-minute documentary on the making of the movie, which could be just so fascinating to watch.
Yeah. And, boy, everybody was surprised last night when Kendrick Lamar released new material. This was a Beyonce kind of moment. He didn't let anybody know it was coming. He just dropped it.
Yep.
What do you know about Untitled Unmastered?
These were the tracks that he performed at the Grammys, right?
Some of his music was heard before, but there were some tracks where it's like, I've never heard that Lamar song before. And these were some of those tracks, apparently, that had been unreleased that he finally did drop on people. Came out, what, Spotify was one source you could get it?
iTunes.
And they say there may be other formats still yet to come if you're looking to hear the new Kendrick Lamar music.
I have a couple of clips if you want to hear the Kendrick Lamar album.
New Kendrick
Lamar.
Clips,
yeah.
Okay.
Actual. I mean, these are real clips.
You're not
going to
play
Kendrick
How
Lamar.
Great Is Male Ass?
No,
or Balls?
How Great Is Male Ass?
I had a standing by.
I wasn't going to play it until you
real
said it.
Clips. All right. The names of the songs are weird in that the first clip I'm going to play for you is 02/06.23.2014.
I'll bite me, Kendrick Lamar.
I live out of cold and me and my bros and my Dallas ain't folding. You was never the homie.
All right, the next clip I
have
is...
That sounds like it came off of a Funkadelic album from 1973, that song.
The next clip I have is 05/09.21.2014.
No.
Every piece of your brain to your son jumped in your arm. Cut on the engine that sped off in the rain. I'm gone. Somebody said you bumped your head and bled the floor.
Is that track backwards?
He has a lot of wacky production.
The final clip that I have is 01/08.19.
You're the worst.
Really? .2014. And I don't know who the female is on this, but this is a duet.
All on you, baby.
Oh. Mm. Oh. Yeah.
Smell it.
If it's not in...
Push it back on daddy.
Mm.
Push it back on daddy, baby.
So good. You're welcome.
Wow. Our own Allie McKay.
That was you?
Doing a duet
How
with Kendrick
about that?
Lamar?
What?
I didn't even know you guys knew each other.
Why wouldn't you tell us that?
I wanted to see your face.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
Thank
Allie.
You.
That's,
Thank you, you guys. Wow. Yeah.
Did Swampy introduce you, too?
Yeah, he did.
Can you hook that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I called Dr. Drew the next day. And
very impressive.
Like,
remix. Allie and Kendrick. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Patricia Heaton's 58 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 56. I never want to hear that smell it part again. I never want
I think you
that.
Do.
Nope.
I feel like you do.
You're the worst.
I have both the Hebe's now and the Jeebies.
You ain't alone.
All on you, baby.
Yeah. Smell it. If it's not in...
Push it back on daddy. Push it back on daddy, baby.
So good. You're welcome.
Wow.
Why, for playing your song? I would have thought you'd be thrilled.
You know, people would love to get their song debuted on K-Rock.
Right, I'm sorry.
Lucky. I wish you all the luck with O.7114BQLLG ampersand money sign K.
I thought when I saw that title, I thought it was a remake of the old song with that name, but apparently no, it's a brand new one from Kendrick.
Steven Weber's 55 and Landon Donovan, soccer player, of course, with the LA Galaxy is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody. I walk the showbiz beats.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have Doug Benson and Jim and Fletcher from Pennywise. And don't forget, the tickets go on sale at noon today for April Foolishness.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bing, bing, bing. Bing, 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 bing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We were like, what?
Roll another one.
So who should you turn to fund your lunch?
Just like the other one.
That's not the expression at all.
This one seems to be about quit.
Kevin! Quack! Quack, Kevin!
F you!
Kevin, quack! Quack!
Right to hell.
Roll.
Sister Sledge.
Just like.
whatever.
This one seems a bit nice.
So what the f***?
I don't know.
Sorry to crash the sausage party.
Tell me about you.
Well, that was good use of the last 5 hours.
Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
No, there's nothing to add. What's to add? What is to add?
Don't want to do this show. I don't want to do this show. I've got no more material. I don't want to do this show.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I made this.
The Cobb salad on point.